morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good morning, Dave Damashek and Teresa Strasser.
Good morning.
Porn star Memphis Monroe's going to come in. We'll do a Mr. Brightside today. Minus Lycus, which... Minus Lycus sounds like the Latin name for a flower. Like, you know, you call it the bird of paradise, but it's really Minus Lycus.
Yeah, it grows in the spring.
Minus Lycus. I'm allergic to Minus Lycus. Lisa Lampanelli, the queen of mean, is coming in here. Always delivers. That's what I like about a fat chick. You know, they talk about fat chicks. Well, they deliver in the sack. They have to. They have to try harder. Otherwise, there's going to be no second chances. Fat chicks try harder overall all the time. Or just, you know.
Except on the treadmill.
Yes. Lisa knows. She knows she's not the belle of the ball. She doesn't show up here like some of these models we have in here, or some of these Hawaiian Tropic girls or porn girls. She shows up and she puts out, baby.
She does.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
That's how she referred to program director Jack Silver.
And speaking of putting out, Dr. Gary Alter. Now, we had him in early last few times. He's an old friend of mine. I met him when I used to do Loveline. He is a board-certified plastic surgeon and a board-certified urologist. He's one of the only guys in the world that has the dual certification. And he does genital reassignment surgery, which I find endlessly fascinating. Sort of morbidly fascinating, but endlessly fascinating. And it's also one of these things where, you know, we always threaten to take these technological things and sort of break them down. Some seem to be ahead of others. There were, you know, like, for instance, when we had the first men on the moon and spaceships up and orbiting the atmosphere and the whole Gemini program and everything, we were still using rotary phones in the NASA camp. You know, the guys in the big NASA room were talking on a rotary phone to the guys that were on the moon.
Yes.
It's one of those things. It seemed to hang around for a while. I figured, well, by the time we get guys onto the moon, we won't be using phones at all. We'll just be using telepathy to communicate. But now we're still using the rotary phone that was first introduced in the 20s. Gender reassignment surgery's been around for 30 years. And again, people were using the rotary phone when we were taking a guy's penis off and putting a vagina in its place and vice versa. It seems like one of these things that should have been further out in the future. And then there are other things we should have had. We should have been looking at a DVD 100 years before the gender reassignment surgery, not the other way around. I mean, we've had the gender reassignment thing going on for 30 years before the iPod or the DVD ever really came around. Yeah, it's just one of these things. It seemed like a future thing to me.
Yeah, and you could argue that it's actually pretty advanced and possibly more advanced than, say, solar power.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Well, anyway, he's going to come in. We'll talk to him. Oh, let's see what I want to talk about. Well, last night I got left alone with the kids.
Oh, where'd your wife go?
She went to go see The Killers.
Ah.
With, I don't know, a whole bunch of people.
They were on The Kimmel Show?
They were on The Kimmel Show. And popular hip band. And I'm out of touch. I'm hip to The Killers. I think The Killers, I think I talked to them when I was doing Loveline a couple of years back. They came on the show. Is that right, Brian? Seem to be good enough guys. No?
Yes. Did Adam like The Killers?
They were very quiet. Oh. They didn't say much. Typical band.
All right. Well, I had room to talk. The point is my wife took everyone out to go see The Killers over at Kimmel, and I was left alone with the kids, which is fine until Natalia woke up screaming. And just, you know, that thing where you pick them up and they just start wailing, you know, and you're yelling, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong? Just wailing, arms out in front, just wailing. You're holding them up, just wailing away. And
you shake them till they stop.
You take them for a ride in your car. Babies love that.
They
love
cars. Yeah. I got that paint can shaker. I was just strapping her into that thing, the one you see at the hardware store. And that's one of those devices, like, there's some devices that do things, well, they're just, I'm see if I can articulate myself here. There's certain devices out there that are, it's like a microwave. Like a microwave, well, you may want to heat up some soup in a microwave. You put the bowl in the microwave and you look through the window, it doesn't look like anything's going on. Mm-hmm. If you're a caveman, you couldn't tell that that thing was being... But a paint can shaker is exactly what it is.
I love that thing.
It's out of Dr. Seuss. I mean, here's what it does. It does what you could do if you had 30 cups of coffee in an hour. It just does it faster. It literally just shakes the paint can. I like a device that does what you would do, but just does it a whole lot faster and for longer than you could ever do it, as opposed to the ones that sort of work in a way that you can't really figure out on some level that just doesn't make sense to you or doesn't present itself. Paint can shaker, very satisfying. I'll go buy gallons of paint I don't even want just to watch the thing go. Go ahead, put it in.
So you put the baby in.
Let her go. I was just strapping her into the paint can shaker. Now, she was crying. Ah, she's wailing. Of course, the wife has to come home. Always has to come home right in the middle. What's going on? What are you doing? It's always, what are you doing? Very condescending, the ladies are, with the kids, you know? What's going on? What are you doing? We're just sharing a beer bong. What are you doing?
I was putting her in the paint shaker.
Put her in the microwave to dry her hair, honey. Yes, I'm holding the child. What am I doing? What is she doing? Why don't you turn it on her? She's screaming for no reason. Well, what did you? Nothing. I did nothing.
Nothing more condescending than the people who say it's the same thing as, well, the TV doesn't seem to work. I can't get the VCR to work.
You
and you're pushing the button.
Did
the
you
same
try
button.
The remote?
Here, give me the remote.
Give me that.
They push the exact
give me that.
Same. Listen,
what's wrong with that? Let me see that.
I'm not a 3-year-old simpleton.
You push
please.
The power. It's plugged in. Did you plug it in? It's always the first question those Yahoos ask, you know, in tech support. Is the computer plugged in? No, the cord's up my ass. I think I was gonna break wind here and see if I could fart this baby up. Yeah, it's plugged in. Thanks. That much I got. I don't know how long you had to go to school for the plug-in part. Seems to me that's one I picked up on the street.
Did you press power?
Power.
Yes, I pressed power. Let me see it. And then they press power. Yeah, there is something wrong with this.
Is the computer, is it out of the box, sir? Or is it still in the box? Okay. Is the box been removed from the automobile? It's not in the trunk of the car anymore? All right, so the computer is set up and plugged in. Yes, hence the phone call.
This
Believe me, I would never call the troubleshooting hotline if the thing was still in the back of the Explorer. That's not the way I roll.
Where the baby was.
So, anyway, I'm holding the kid up, and she's got the arms out, screaming. Ah! You know, I'm yelling, quiet. And then she could wake up the boy, and then Lynette comes in, and she wants, what are you doing? What are you doing? Nothing. I'm just, oh, give me her. Gives her, and then you hope. Now
you want
the kid to be quiet for the 10 minutes the kid is wailing like a banshee, but then as soon as I hand it over to the wife, I just secretly think to myself, keep going. I'll sometimes put a thumbtack in the palm of my hand and grab her foot
right.
A little, give it a little squeeze, you know, just make sure it keeps going, just to make sure she's not a better parent than I am. Well, she keeps wailing away, and then, you know, my wife goes in this like triage thing where it's like, go to the room, get the wet naps and the diapers, and get the bottle and get the blankie and get the huggy blankie, bring it back, stat, and give me D5W lactate ringers, stat. She starts throwing stuff around. The kid's still crying. I'm now enjoying it because now the kid's off my hands, but I did nothing to create the crying. So she changes the diaper, and then it turns out she's hungry. The boy's sawing logs, but this is the second time this has happened. It's only my wife's only cut out, and the nanny's only cut out 2 or 3 times since I've been a dad where I have to sit home. And like clockwork, each time the kid starts bellowing moments before whoever in the position of authority walks into the house, which makes me just seem like an animal.
Well, luckily, she kept crying. Like, when your car makes a sound and you take it to the mechanic, you want the car to make the sound when you take it to the mechanic.
Right.
So they don't think you're crazy.
Yes. I have this idea for and this won't affect you in the first year of child rearing, but I was thinking about, and I've been reprimanded for this idea because my sister has 2 little boys who, of course, have spoken on this show before. They, when they're bad and they're irrationally crying, mm-hmm. I say this, and people say, oh, it's child abuse. I say you put them in the trunk of the car for 4 seconds. One time.
Right.
You threaten. You threaten it a few times. You keep crying for no good reason. Into the trunk you go for four. Yeah, but you don't tell them how long. And that's where you're. That's
for
your
an
new
infant?
Bed. That's
nope.
your new bed. No, this is when they get to be like 3, 4 years of age. You go into the trunk. You keep this crying up. Now. You take them out there, though. They don't stop one too many times. You put them in the trunk and you close it for 4 seconds. You close it, they will go crazy. And then you pop the trunk right back up. It only happened for like 4 seconds. It'll seem an eternity, though. Then for all of time, you just lord that over their heads. This time, right. not so benevolent. This time you cry again. Into the trunk you go, but you spend the whole night there. People say, oh, you'd be arrested if you did that. Would you?
Well, Mrs. Kravitz was watching, watering her lawn, you know. Looking over the fence and, you know, put a phone call into Child Protective Services, yeah.
Wouldn't that work, though? That would really... That would.
I'll tell you why it wouldn't work. I'll tell you why it wouldn't work. Because these stories later on in life would just turn into my dad used to lock me in my trunk, and then the whole part about them having a tantrum would be forgotten about, and then instead of, you know, 4 seconds in the trunk, it'd be 40 minutes, and then it'd be a long weekend, and then it was I grew up in the trunk, and then I never got out of the trunk, and my dad sent a tutor in the trunk to teach me basic math. That's what it would turn into. And then your kid would lord it over you when the kid got into college and beyond.
Oh, I believe me. I can't do it because I was immediately scolded by my sisters, my mother, my wife. How dare you?
They said,
you're not fit to be a parent.
They said put the kid in a pit of snakes.
How dare you?
Way better.
All righty. Well, we need to take ourselves a little break. I think my girl stopped crying, so everything's cool. We are, we're going to do a little new little bit called Captain Blowhard. I think we've worked this one out, 866-901-ADAM. You call up and you tell us things you'd like to do.
Huh.
Now, that's a little bit loose
yeah.
in its form, but
some
let's
examples.
See. Well, maybe you'd like to put a lift kit on your truck. I'll tell you why that's not going to work. Or perhaps you want to join the Coast Guard.
Right.
Captain Blowhard could address that. Maybe there's politics or world news. It's really pretty wide open. I'm trying to suss
plans
it out in real
you
time.
Have that maybe you haven't completely fleshed out in your head.
Yeah.
Is that a good...
That may be dangerous?
Well, maybe you'd like to travel. Maybe like this winter, maybe over Christmas, you'd like to go to Europe or Africa. Maybe you'd like to be a professional ball player. Yeah, tell me about plans you might be having for yourself for the future. Small business you'd like to open. I think that'll work for Captain Blowhard. But really, you can almost bring up any topic, which I know doesn't help you guys. Well, listen, we'll figure it out.
Captain Blowhard can blow hard on any topic.
That's my point. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM if you want to talk to Captain Blowhard. He'll tell you what's really going on. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, people. Captain Blowhard cars, people. People. Hey, people. All righty, then. Settle down. Settle in. Let's go. Let's grab a knee. Settle in now. Helmet's not a chair. Let's go. Let's grab a knee. Pull it up. Look, he's the guy who's going to tell you straight all the time. I'll tell you straight. I'll tell you straight up right now. I can be your best friend or I can be your worst enemy. You can decide. Which one it's going to be. That'll be up to you. It's a lot of people putting it up to you, too. I'm not going to tell you about this. And, oh, this guy, yeah, Captain Blowhard, he tells you what he's not. I'll tell you what I'm not. Not your girlfriend. Not your mom. Not your wet nurse. I'm not a therapist. Never says what he is. Just tells you what he's not.
Is Captain Blowhard ever going to lie to me?
I tell you, I'd love to look in the eye and blow a little sunshine up your tea, but I can't and I won't and I'm not. And I shout. I'll tell you what I'm not.
What?
Not your best friend. Not your nanny. Not your florist. Not your pool man. Not your wet nurse. Not your shrink. Not your mommy. Not your nana. Not the guy who walks your dogs or the guy who mows your lawn. I'm not any of those things. Okay, people?
Okay.
He likes to give dates out, too. March 22nd, 1971. my last sip of whiskey on that day, and I never looked back. He's also a guy who lost a lot of people. When you've buried 9 kids and 2 wives like I have, believe me, you learn to move on or you don't move at all. He also one of these guys, too, that says the things you have to think about that aren't really making sense. You're either moving forward or you're going backward. You're never in one place. How about now? You're either going forward or you're moving backward. We leave it all out on the field.
Sounds like he can help a lot of people.
All right, we got an intro. Let's hear it.
Blowhard.
Don't kid yourself. It's Captain Blowhard.
Did someone call my name? Holy Toledo, is that evil machine of the Blowhard?
Is it time for Captain Blowhard? You bet it is.
This guy has big calves. That's all I really know about him.
Sure.
All right, people, let's go. Let's settle in now. Let's go now. Let's go on. Let's bring it up now. Let's go. A lot of let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's bring it in. Settle down. Vince.
Yeah.
Vince, just before we get started, I want you to know I'm not your wife.
Not yet.
Not your girlfriend. Not your stepdaughter you'd like to F. Not your 13-year-old son hasn't told you he's gone gay yet. Not your nanny. I'm not a professional cheerleader. Either that or no shrink. What's going on, Vince?
Just hanging out. Mm-hmm. Getting ready to go to work, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm not your boss. I'm not your truant officer, and I'm not your principal. Not a counselor, not a camp counselor. Love to sit here and tell you how great everything was going to turn out, but I'd be a liar. I can't, I won't, and I shout, and I insist on not lying. What's up, Vince?
Same old, same old.
All righty, then.
Yeah, so I'll be a cop, so...
Thinking about being a cop, huh?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you figure, yeah. Figure it's going to be all shoulder rolls and pulling over hot blondes like on Chips. Well, let me tell you what it's going to be like. You're going into South Central. Let me tell you what's in South Central. A lot of bad, brother. You got no friends in South Central. You're not going to pull over. Let me give you a scenario that's not going to happen. You're not going to pull over a couple brothers in South Central, and they're going to hop out of their car. Oh, it's Officer Vince. Well, let me put a spit shine on your boots. Nah. They're going to fire back with AK-47s. Now, you're going to have to learn to talk if you're going to be a cop. You're going to have to tell people you need to get out of the car and go ahead and give me your license and registration right now, okay, right now? Do you think you can handle that, Vince?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm in Vegas, so I'll be able to beat down some fools.
Right. But I gotta tell you something. You've been watching too many shows. Let me explain something, my friend. Life is not a TV show. It's not even on basic cable, you understand? Although there is a network called Lifetime. That has nothing to do with life, you understand?
I just want to be able to kick someone in the nads.
Well, do not kid yourself, my friend. Buddy, it sounds like you're smoking a little too much weed to make the cut. I don't know if you're cut out of the right cloth. Hey, listen, I'd love to tell you could just waltz right into the police academy, grab your gun and diploma, and waltz right out again, but that's not the way it's going to go. I'd be lying to you if I told you, and I can't lie, and I won't lie, and I refuse to lie. Who else we got here? Patrick?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, people?
Doing pretty good, heading to work.
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
I want to try to go out with Teresa.
Teresa, let me explain something. First off, I'd love to tell you she was sane and that you're getting a third base on the first date, but I'd be lying to you if I said that. I think people think dating Teresa is like having tea and crumpets on some daisy farm, but you're going to be in for sad awakening, my friend. All right? Because I've talked to the people that have dated her, okay, people? A lot of 300-pound men crying, breaking down like infants after loving her hard. All right?
Well, I'm into hurting myself, so I'm pretty cool with that.
All right, well, listen, if you want a world to hurt, then you open her front door, but don't come knocking unless you're prepared to talk to the lady of the house. You understand? You can't start writing checks your ass can't cash, all right, my friend people? I'd love to tell you it was otherwise, but I'd be lying if I did. And let me tell you, there'd be nothing better than just blowing a little sunshine up all your arses right here. No, believe you me, that's the way I'd like it too. But I'll tell you what, I won't tell you what I am. I'll tell you what I'm not. Not the sunshine blower. Not a camp counselor. Not your wet nurse. Not your nanny. Not your grampy. Not your uncle. Not a second cousin. Not a second cousin twice removed. Not an aunt. Not a niece. Not a nephew. No, I'm not a podiatrist. Not an orthodontist. Okay, buddy? I'd love to just sit there and cup your sack and blow sunshine right up your tukai, but it ain't gonna happen, not on my watch. It can't, it won't, and it shan't. See who we talking to, Steve. Steve?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, people.
What's going on, Captain Blowhard? I need some advice.
What's going on?
I'm working in San Diego lately, and I've been very tempted to tell my wife I'm doing an all-nighter and head over to TJ and get some strange.
I'd love to tell you that TJ was basically Disneyland south of the border, but I'd be lying to you. Places infested with steroids and hookers. And let me tell you something over there. You got no friends in TJ. Oh, it'd be great if you could just go there and stop. Hey, Mr. Pimp. Hey, Mr. Drug Dealer. Hey, Mr. Two-Year-Old Selling Chiclets. Hey, Mr. People. I'd love to just tell you those were your best friends, but they're put on this earth for one thing and one thing only. They want to kill. You understand, Steve?
Kill.
Hey, buddy, it's your funeral. You can play it both ways. Either way, we end up the same way. You understand?
He says
the things that sound good, but you have to try to translate. Either way, we end up the same way. We can go this way or that way. We can go my way or we can go the highway. Either way, it ends up the same way. You understand? Tell you what, right now, I'll tell you something right now. Tell you about the people in Mexico, people, because I've been there. And I got to tell you, I'd love to tell you some stories about what went down there, but I'd have to kill you. You understand? Now grab a knee. Helmet's not a chair. I'll tell you something, people, about the people over there. They're not there to give your car a buff and a wax. They're not there to tell you how good you look in that tight skirt. No, they're there one reason only. They're there to take lives. That's all they do. That's what they do. That's what great whites do. That's all they do. They just swim and they eat and they eat and they swim and they don't care what falls in the water. They don't care if it's you or your Grammy, your wet nurse, your gardener, orthodontist, or your therapist. They don't care if it's a 9-year-old with sickle cell or Gaddafi. They eat. That's what they do. Do not kid yourself, people. I could tell you it was otherwise, but I'd be lying to you. Who else we got here? Jean? Jeannie? What's your name? People, what's your name?
Janine.
Caller people? Janine?
Janine.
Janine, I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't mispronounce your name before. What's your question, sweetie?
Well, first I wanted to tell Dave that I was one of those kids that got put in the trunk for crying. And you're right. It just causes a whole lot of psychological scarring. It might have worked. My dad had kind of a sick sense of humor. We went to a professional baseball game. He told us if we didn't behave, he was going to strap us to the top of the car for the drive home.
Was your dad a blowhard?
he might have been.
Janine, I'd love to tell you weren't talking too much right now, but I'd be lying to you. And I won't lie to you.
Okay? So
it'd be really easy for me to sit here and blow sunshine up you and tell you you weren't rambling for too long on my morning radio show, but I'd be lying to you. Okay, people, Janine?
All right. Question for Captain Blowhard.
Question.
I am like humongously pregnant. I'd really like to go into labor.
I'd love to tell you that you... How many months along are you?
I just missed my due date, so I'm more than 9 months at this point.
Mm-hmm. So you missed your due date, and whose fault was that, Janine? I don't think it was my fault. I don't think it was your dog's fault. I don't think it was Nanny or Pappy's fault. I don't think it was the big man upstairs' fault or the Beelzebub down below's fault. Whose fault was it that Janine missed Janine's due date? Would it be Janine, or would it be the zygote that was festering inside her abdomen? And believe me, let me tell you something. When that kid hits the turf running, I'd love to tell you that this kid's going to see a world where there's nothing but daisies, sunshine, and Labradors running through fields of poppies. But that's not the way it is out there. You understand? There's people who do nothing but think about killing Americans. You understand? And the sooner your infant knows that, the better the kid is. You understand? You tell them you either sweat in the gym or you bleed on the streets. I'm not your OBGYN, not your husband, not your fetus, not your wet nurse. You understand, people? Boy or girl?
It's a boy.
Hmm. I got to tell you something. I'd love to tell you otherwise. I'd love to blow a little sunshine up you, but it's not easy for a man in here. You understand? You understand that we pay twice as much for auto insurance and die 9 years earlier than women do? You understand? Kid's right. Hair's going to be gone before it comes in. So you want me to induce labor?
I'm trying everything that everybody suggests and hasn't been working.
All right, do me a favor, Janine. People, Janine, put the phone on your belly. Let me talk to the boy. What's his name?
Owen.
Aww. All right, so you've decided to go gay. Put him on the phone.
All right, here we go.
Put it against your belly.
Oh, he's going to be scarred.
Listen, Owen, first off, let me introduce myself. Not your mom, not your dad, though I did bang your mom twice. Not your nanny, your grampy, not your wet nurse, not your maid, not your dog walker, not your OBGYN, not the administration of the hospital. I'm not a gardener, not a professional bull rider. I don't clean carpets for a living. I'm not a professional carpenter. I don't customize vans. You understand, son? I'm not the guy who refills the change machine at the coin-op laundry. I'm not a roofer, not a sheetrocker, not a tin knocker. I don't work repairing shoes. I don't work on repairing roads. I don't work on the airport. All right, so those are my qualifications, person, people. Let me tell you what to expect when you get out in the world. Not much. How about a cold boot across the face? I'd love to tell you there was going to be nothing but sunshine and peppermint, but I'd be lying to you if I was, son. My best advice to you, stay in there. Do not leave. Stay where it's nice. I wish I'd crawl right up my people. I'll tell the same to you. I'll tell you. I'll tell anyone else. I'll tell anyone who asks. And I'll tell people that won't ask. I'll tell people that are on the other side of the street. All right? Janine? People? Yeah. You back on the phone?
Back on the phone.
All right. I straighten it out for you. All right?
All right. Sounds good.
Listen, I talk the kid straight. He's 10 months old. It's old enough. Understand?
Sounds good.
Oh. He's in his third trimester, right?
Yes.
It's time he's heard the truth. Okay? And listen, I'd love to lie to him. I'd love to look him in the umbilical cord and just blow sunshine right up him, but I won't, I can't, I'm not going, and I shall. Who else we got here? Uh-oh. I'd love to say I didn't push the wrong button there, but I'm not gonna, I can't, and I won't. Justin?
Hey, what's up, Adam Carolla?
Justin, what's Captain Blowhard? What do you need?
Captain Blowhard, I'm thinking about joining the Navy. I wanted to get what you thought about it.
Mm-hmm. When are you thinking of signing up, son?
As soon as possible. I'm thinking about quitting my job. I'm a truck driver, man. And I'll tell you what, it's a boring job.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you what. You've been watching a lot of commercials, a lot of guys looking like the Old Spice man, a different port of call every week, and a new lady in his arms. But let me explain what you got to look forward to. You got a bunk stacked three high, maybe four. It's 118 degrees, and you're sleeping in the engine room. You're on a laundry ship, you understand?
Yeah.
You're going through the Arabian Sea, and you're crisscrossing through a minefield, and you ain't going to come home. And I'd love to tell you it was going to be different, but it's not. All right?
Oh, man, thanks for the
advice. So once you make out your first and last, figure out who you're going to leave that futon to and that half-eaten can of beans before we send you, before we deep-six you and send you down to Davy Jones' locker, all right, my friend? And I'd love to tell you it'd be different, but you're going to have a DI who's going to be blowing hot, smelly man breath into your face 24-7. You prepared for that?
I think so, man. I'm thinking about it.
Hey, listen, I'd love to tell you it's different. And who am I to talk? Well, I'll tell you who I'm not. I'm not your DI. I'm not your captain. Not Captain Crunch. Not a professional football player. I don't play roller derby hockey. I haven't done that professionally. Not a roofer. Not a sculptor. I don't install satellite dishes. I don't drive a van that delivers cleaning products. I don't work from my home. Not an independent contractor. I'm not licensed or bonded. Not an attorney. Not a doctor. Not a senator. Not a page. Not a politician. Not the president of America or the king of Siam. You understand, people? Enough said. All right. Look, I got to move on and yell at some school kids. So you guys can ungrab your knee. Remember that helmet's not a chair. Let's get in. Let's get a hand in. Let's break it down. Talk to you next week.
It's the blowhard, the evil's windbag.
Listen, I'll tell you and anyone else who asks, that was Captain Blowhard.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tough love.
Wow.
Yeah, but telling it like it is.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What the heck is going on, T? Are we doing the news next?
I think so. Brisket, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you want to know what's in it? Yeah.
Well, as if what happened in Amish country wasn't bad enough, that crazy lady that hates the veterans who died in our war, well, mm-hmm. Now she hates the Amish. We'll hear from her. And also, Paris Hilton got in a fist fight, a real drag down fist fight. We'll talk about that. And a controversy surrounding the Killers, the band your wife saw last night.
All right. All that after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, homies? Jack Silver. Hey, today's show is giving me a stiffy. Dodgers legend and Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda, comedian Demetri Martin, and, of course, Dave Jerklist. Hey, here's my nomination. Mike August for not booking enough hot ass in the studio. Some might call you power booker, but I call you a jerk. Wait.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Brian, I'd be, if I told you you still had a job, I'd be lying to you. You understand?
I'm not going to do it. I'm the sound effects guy, peeps.
Sounds a lot like yesterday's show. What happened, Jack Silver?
Pushed the wrong button, huh? All right.
Look, Captain Blowhard would love to blame you.
I'd love to tell you everything was going to turn out all right and that you were going to land on your feet and that you weren't formerly fat and you had a full head of hair, but I'd be lying to you.
I wanted one more date from Captain Blowhard. That's my favorite thing he does.
Oh, yeah, it gives the dates out. I don't know why blowhardy guys always know the dates, you know? If you ask me, like, and when did the man show start? I don't even know what year. I think 2000, maybe earlier, maybe 99, I can't remember. But with those people that give the dates out. And it's always a date about something that's pretty boring. It's usually when they quit drinking, usually when the wife left them, or when they buried their second youngest. I buried them.
Always an upbeat topic.
You still want me to do this tease, Ace Man?
No.
Thank Christ.
Do the tease. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't want you to not do the tease.
What up, peeps? Porn star Memphis Monroe in studio. Not coincidentally, Jackman outside the studio. Lisa Lampanelli and all-around freak show Dr. Gary Alter. It's going to be hot. Wait.
Your heart wasn't in it.
Yeah. All right, T. What's in the news, baby doll?
Well, the Republican Party is scrambling to deal with the fallout of disgraced former Congressman Mark Foley and his sexually explicit emails and IMs to teenage male pages. Yesterday, the latest in the scandal, mm-hmm. Foley's former chief of staff resigned, saying he warned House Speaker Dennis Hastert 3 years ago that Foley's behavior toward the pages was troublesome. Now, not surprisingly, a Republican representative from Kentucky abruptly canceled an invitation for Hastert to join him at a fundraiser next week.
He didn't want to have sex with teenage boys, just like all those guys who show up on that Dateline show with the condoms and the Astroglide and the Sixer of Old Milwaukee. They weren't going to have sex with that 13-year-old girl. They just met her on the internet. They made a few provocative exchanges, and they were coming by the house to check them out.
To talk.
Yeah, just wanted to talk. That's how it is. Like, if you're in prison and you meet a lady on the outside and you just, throw some emails back and forth about what are you wearing and I'd love to come over there and to slap your ass. If you ever did get out of prison and you saw that person, you would never want to have sex with them. No, that's the way it works. You just send provocative emails back and forth. You never do anything.
Well, interestingly enough, Foley's lawyer is saying that he never had sexual contact with any of the teenage male pages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two relatives of the man who attacked an Amish school this week said that they were not molested by Charles Roberts 20 years ago, as he claimed. Investigators said yesterday they spoke to the two women who would have been 4 or 5 at the time, and both said there was no such abuse. The attacker confessed in notes he left behind and in a cell phone call to his wife from inside the Pennsylvania Amish school that he was tormented by memories of molesting these young relatives. They said they had no recollection of being sexually assaulted.
I gotta say, the Amish are just a mustache away from really making some headway in this society. You know what I mean? I mean, the part where they're making their own pants and knitting their own cabins and being pulled by horse and everything, it's not a bad thing, except for they're missing the mustache. The crazy Mennonite beard with no mustache. If they had the mustache, I would respect them. You know what I mean? Just picture the Amish. It's really the mustache we miss. It's not the lifestyle. It's not the crazy religious fanaticism or the fact that they look at zippers as the devil's work. But it's really the mustache. Because all of a sudden now you got the mustache, and I'll tell you who you got then. You got Merlin Olsen from Little House on the Prairie. All of a sudden, you got your best friend. You got the guy you went with you in a bar fight. All they need is that stupid mustache. If they just stick a mustache on that lip, I think they'd slide right past everyone's radar.
The more you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you remember this crazy Shirley Phelps Roper. We've had her on the show. She's part of this church group in Kansas that protests funerals of dead Iraqi war veterans because she thinks the military is too soft on the gays. Now she's mad at the Amish. So she went on Hannity and Combs.
Why is she mad at the Amish?
Well, take a listen. Here she is.
They sit over there and create their own form of righteousness instead of...
Did those girls deserve to be killed?
Well, they did get killed, and they did that. Who controls the hearts of men? It was at the hand of an angry God. Those girls are dead.
They deserve to die?
They did deserve to die.
Well, there you go. Look, all you religious nut jobs out there, or as I like to call you, superstitious natives, you cannot handle the fact that S happens in this society, that good people die for no reason, that you're going to die one day soon, and that sometimes 9-year-old school kids, very innocent people, get killed just because of a horrible cosmic luck of the draw. So what do? You create a god, and then you make peace with that god, and then you work very hard not to offend that god, and don't worry, nothing will ever happen to you. And if it does, you'll be hanging out in his penthouse, chilling with the big man in the robe and the sandals. You know it's a lie. The televangelists, the people like this nut job coos, she knows it's a lie. They all know it's a lie. They just can't handle it. They just scream like kids when you're dragging them from Disneyland. They know they have to leave. They're just letting it out. They're not mature enough, and they don't have the guts to be an atheist.
Well, this woman, Shirley Phelps Roper, did not protest at the Amish funerals. And here's why, because she was promised some time on a radio talk show. And so she decided if they
That's
let her
That's how I got
here.
This show, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
You said, I'm either going to show up.
I told Jack Silver, either I crisscross this nation protesting inappropriately at funerals for veterans, school kids, the handicapped, or you give me this morning gig.
Okay, now, quickly. It's the...
Boy, is he sorry.
It's the sound and the video that Wendy's does not want you to hear, but it is on YouTube. That is until Wendy's lawyers get their cease and desist activated. Around 1989, they had a training video. I know you worked in the fast food industry. I don't know if you ever saw one of these training
videos. Yes.
They teach you the ins and outs.
I worked at McDonald's. I worked at the one in Studio City. They had a training video you had to go watch before they signed you up. And the thing that was funny about it, I was 15 and a half at the time. I sat down in the basement where the laundry machine was and watched 2 hours of training videos. One of them is what you should do if there's a takeover, what you should do if armed gunmen come into the McDonald's and want to clean out the register.
Right.
I'll tell you what they said not to do. No heroes. Don't go diving over the counter trying to tackle anyone. I'm like, I'm making $2.35 an hour, and I'm staring at a sign that says time to lean, time to clean. You think I'm going over the counter? I'm taking a whiz in the freezer. I'm not going over the counter and tackling a guy who stole $50 from you guys. I hope he gets $150.
Well, in 1989, the good folks at Wendy's thought they could really communicate with their young employees through rap.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Working the grill, Bill, it ain't so tough. But first of all, you got to check your stuff. Like a grill that's set at 250. With the meat and cheese that's ready to go. A towel to keep your station looking cool. But most of all, you got to have your tool. Are you with me now? Get ready. We're going to lay them down.
Yeah.
Something completely patronizing about that.
Cheese count on max, please. Cheese 3, please. Thank you. Burgers up. Wrap, please.
It's coming back to you, isn't it?
It's all coming back.
Never forget.
And they would not let me work the register.
Why?
I have no idea. All I do is talk. I don't count well, but I talk.
Well, maybe they're not counting
well. I sat behind the goddamn grill, and I cooked for my big, fat, black manager, Ken, who was always... I could always tell he didn't like what I was doing when he would move his mustache around without using his hands. I just see his mustache moving. When I was mopping with the mop in front of me and walking on the wet floor that I just mopped and sliding all over it in the graduation shoes I wore in the ninth grade, I just see Ken's mustache move sideways. Sometimes it would spin around like a propeller.
Did it ever have any food in it?
Oh. He was 500 pounds, a just scary man, and he would just yell at me, give me a sweep and a mop in the outside area, and I have to go out there with my mop and sweep around and make the burgers, and yeah, it blew ass.
Well, in music news, now last night your wife went to see The Killers at the Jimmy Kimmel Live show. Mm-hmm. Now there's some controversy. They released their second album on Tuesday. It's called Sam's Town, and I believe The Killers do admit that they are fans of Bruce Springsteen. Now here is the scuttlebutt. Apparently their new hit, which is called When You Were Young, sounds remarkably similar to the introduction of the Bruce Springsteen song Born to Run. Now, I'll give you a listen to. You tell me what you think. First, here is The Killers' new hit. The intro is what they're saying sounds the same. The intro to The Killers, When You Were Young. Sounds a little like this.
Now working the grill, Bill, it ain't so tough. But first, you got to check your stuff. Like a grill, that's it. 2-5.
Ryan, please.
Nah. I mean, no. Whatever. There's a billion songs. Eventually, some of them are going to sort of cross paths a little bit. But nah.
Okay, well, two women who crossed paths recently, Paris Hilton and Dancing with the Stars reject Shanna Moakler.
Can I say this quickly about all you fanatical Bruce Springsteen fans out there?
Because your wife is a fan.
And she's piping it into the nursery, and she's turning the kids into Bruce zombies. Let me explain something. Uh-oh. He's got some good songs, and he's talented. There are guys that are as good or better. There's a guy there named John Hiatt. Want to hear some real music? Go get some John Hiatt goddamn CDs. Stop polluting your brain with the same theme over and over and over again. Yes, Bruce is good, has some good songs. Some good songs. John Hiatt has more good songs.
You
go find some John Hiatt.
You're asserting at 6:53 in the a.m. That John Hiatt is superior to Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, he is. He's a better songwriter than he is.
Right. I hope your wife's not listening right now.
Yeah, Bruce has some good songs. John has some better songs. That's all I'm saying.
All right. A fight broke out between Paris.
What's the most popular thing? You're asserting that McDonald's is better than In-N-Out Burger because they sell more burgers every year? Is that what you're saying?
I think there are plenty of bands and people that are better that have better records than Bruce Springsteen. I don't think John Hiatt is one of them.
I was born to run on to the next story.
Listen. If you talk to people who know music, they'll tell you John Hyde is better than Bruce Springsteen. Please.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
He's a better songsmith. He writes better songs than Bruce Springsteen does.
Watch this segue. That's a bigger fight than the one Paris Hilton had.
Ah, yes. Go ahead. Go ahead.
They got into it at a nightclub called Hyde, according to TMZ.com. It was actually a pretty serious cat fight. Paris Hilton reportedly punched Shayna Moakler in the jaw, and then Paris's ex, who's that Stavros Niarchos guy, threw a beer at Shayna and pushed her down some stairs. Why the trouble? Well, apparently Paris Hilton has been spotted with Moakler's ex-husband, who's the Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker.
Well, let me float this theory to you two.
Yes.
You know, I have this theory that men are turning into women because of the new breed of puss who is putting on the tan cream but can't change to flat tire in his car, doesn't know what to do, can't scrap anymore. You know how dudes are turning into chicks? I think there's many more incidents of guys pushing women, throwing beers at women, calling them things that guys in years past would never dream of calling women. Guys are opening their mouths now and say, oh, she's a smelly, stinky,
smelly pirate hooker.
Thank you. Fire crotch. These are the kind of things that guys would have been shot for in duels by the girl's boyfriend the following morning at dawn, you know? You know why guys are doing this? Because they're chicks, too, now. This is all part of the big thing of guys turning into women. They're now fighting like women. It used to be a guy would get in between two women and not even dream of getting involved physically other than to break up the two women. Now the guy scratched her and threw his drink at her and that kind of stuff. We are turning into chicks. And now we're fighting like chicks, too.
Well, I'm going to guess the same Greek shipping error. If I gave him an IKEA bookshelf, he couldn't put it together.
No. Go right up his
fighting spot. Over Travis Barker.
I don't get it. I know. I will end on this. Adam, yes. I know you don't follow your own career.
Blink-182, better songs than Bruce. Go ahead.
Do you know what show of yours is premiering this evening?
Yes. Yes, I do, because I'm going to the party tonight. Is it tonight, though? Is it premiere tonight, or is it just the party tonight?
No, it premieres tonight.
Drawn Together.
That's right. Third season of Drawn Together.
Third season?
Yes.
Wow.
Premieres tonight on Comedy Central, 10:30.
What 10:30?
I'm Teresa. Write it down.
10:30, everybody. People love this show.
Yes, and by the way, you play Spanky Ham.
Thank you. I'm going to write that down as well.
Yes.
All right.
Tune in. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Sports! Do it, Dave.
Here's a strike against the boss. Bruska just handed me a card reading, Bruce Awesome Live, best ever live shows.
There you go.
I don't think the boss wants support like that.
That's a sports story.
Game one of the National League Divisional Series over in Queens, New York.
He plays at stadiums oftentimes, right, where then sports may be played some months later.
Yeah, he did that baseball song.
Yes. I hear he is phenomenal live.
Yes. Over in Queens, New York yesterday, Dodgers lost one to the Mets that they had no business losing. 6-5. The play of the game was in the second inning. Jeff Kent, second baseman of the Dodgers, on second base. J.D. Drew on first. Catcher Russell Martin at the plate. Double to right field. Here's what happened.
Sean Green going back. Didn't get a good read. That's going to bounce off the wall. Late start for Kent. They got a shot at the plate. Here's the relay. Ballanted in time.
The announcers are laughing it up, but if you're a Dodgers fan, it was not funny. First, Jeff Kent was tagged out to former Dodger catcher Paul LaDuca's right. Then he turned around and tagged out J.D. Drew. It was really quite pathetic.
Well, hopefully only three or four more games left.
Here's what Jeff Kent, Jeff Kent explained what happened this way.
It's easy to sit in the booth, and it's easy to color this at the end of the day and say, you know what? Well, if this would have scored, and that would have scored, it added up, they would have won.
That was Captain
Blowhard. If he would have scored and I would have scored, then we would have won the game. See, that was easy. Jeff Kent was absolutely right about that. Hey, Randy Moss, you know, is a ne'er-do-well. I think we all can agree on that. And his Oakland Raiders are absolute garbage this year. And here's how he feels about working hard for the club.
Man, I'm really not even concerned too much about football right now, man. I'm just loving life.
Should you be more concerned?
You know, because it don't seem like nobody else is a concern, so why should I? Nobody cares about what's going on around here, so.
I'm sure Lamont Jordan and the rest of his teammates care. I don't know what Lamont Jordan said, but I imagine it would go something like this.
Fullback or running back?
He's a running back.
Yeah.
Randy Moss is an incompoop, an ne'er-do-well, a rascal, a scamp, a schmo. And so on. Anyway.
You know Jack Silver hates that character.
So be it. Lastly, big game this weekend. The game of the season to date, I would have to say. And I'm not even talking about the Steelers at San Diego. No, I'm talking about the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. And more importantly, the reunion between Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens. A lot of talk already about this game. It's really become the worst soap opera ever. Listen to these two talk about each other. And tell me if they're even talking about football anymore.
One guy doesn't make a team. Break a team, maybe.
Donovan said he sent you a text message last week.
I didn't get it.
So you haven't had any conversation with him?
I didn't get it. I mean, I was just like any other week.
You know, if you need somebody to talk to, hey, I'll talk. If we, you know, got a hug before the game or you know, see how each other's doing, you know. But I'll be fine. I'm a human being. And what happened last year, hey, that's over.
Can't they see that they're in love?
Interesting.
Can't wait for that one.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, need to take a break, but first, we want to hear from you. Dawned on us that Mark Foley was probably having at himself, if you do the math on some of those email exchanges just before congressional vote. So that means he was not at home and not in a bathroom, but probably sitting behind a huge mahogany desk going to town. I've pleasured myself in a place or two. I have a theory that most guys have done it at work. Yes, I know women are horrified by that, but I would say your average guy between the age of 18 and 35 who's had a job for longer than 18 months at the same workplace has taken care of business at that workplace. I want to hear from you, male or female. I want to know if you got one off on the road. I want to know if you got one off on the job site. I want to know the weirdest place you've had one. Now, anyone can talk about weird places you've had sex. Sure, that's good radio. But I want to know where the weirdest place you've squeezed one off. Male or female, I think women can do it. You know, women oftentimes will have one at the gym doing crunches or something. There are those out there that have that mechanism where they're just doing some lateral lifts or some weird kind of thing and getting themselves going. I think Board Up Bill just peeled one off just now. Yes, Bill? True?
Absolutely.
Well, right. That explains what happened to the equipment yesterday.
Yes, we'll have to scotch guard the carpet there. All right, 866-901-ADAM. We'll talk to you after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Last month on the Adam Carolla Show, Big Tad won $10,000. What's he going to spend it on?
Cheese-covered potato skins.
Potato skins. There's a wise investment. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dawson said, I'm going to try out a bit. What's Big Tad going to spend his $10,000 on? And I just start thinking, what food are we
cheese crisps.
Never gets old. I got to tell you, fat people, that's all we have left. Oh, yeah, we used to have Mexicans. We used to have blacks. We used to have Puerto Ricans. We used to have midgets. We used to have gimps. We had them all. Not anymore. All we have is fat people.
What will be left? I mean, the fat people, it's a matter of time before they're taken off the table. Is that's mean-spirited and insensitive. You know, we're in the last days of fat.
I say if there comes a day when it becomes inappropriate to make fun of fat people, like it is inappropriate to make racial jokes or jokes for people that have disabilities or physical abnormalities. I say it comes full circle. We go back to our Pollock era.
Oh, yeah, I miss that.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I know, because when I tell my kid his first Pollock joke, and he looks at me cross-eyed when he's nine, when I explain to him, hey, did you hear about that Polish terrorist that tried to blow up the bus? No, Daddy. He burned his lips on the exhaust pipe. Why is he from Poland? I thought they're from the Middle East. No, he's a Polish terrorist.
How did that start? How did it even begin that Polish people were
smart?
I'm
not interested in how it started, sweetie. I want to know why it ended.
I'm sorry.
Listen, let's blaze a trail. Let's bring it back.
It's
Polish
offensive.
Jokes every day.
Oh, blonde jokes I think are okay.
Yeah, but that's no fun because they're enjoying their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can make fun of all the hot 23-year-old dizzy blondes you want, but they're up at the Playboy Mansion swinging in the Grotto.
And they get in on it too much, too.
Right, they start telling their own blonde jokes.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's hop back to the phones. First off, we're just talking about weird places you've masturbated. I'll tell you a few of mine.
Oh.
I don't have time to cover all of them, but a weird piece of timing. I just said, you know, last break, I said, give us the weirdest places you ever masturbated, 866-901-ADAM. And then I signed off and walked out into the kitchen. Foxy producer Angie looked at me and said, I got that magic bullet. And I said, what? She said, I got the magic bullet you told me to get. Really? I told you to get the magic bullet? Wow. And you, she masturbated with it then. It's some weird place she did it with. And she said, no, it's that blender. It's that blender. It's that drink blender they sell in the infomercial. I was like, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no. I knew that. I knew what you're talking about. You can masturbate with a blender. Don't you know, if it doesn't run off 220, 110. It was just one of those weird timing things. It's one of those things where you get something in your head and it just carries into the next room. You know, like when someone breaks wind in one room and you get a nose full of it and then you walk into the next room and you're still smelling it. I was still talking about, I was still thinking about masturbation. So when I heard Magic Bullet.
And it is suggestive.
Yes, but she could have brought up futon and I would have been like, what are you putting that up here for? Yeah, but Magic Bullet, I think there is something called a magic bullet. But anyway.
There's the rabbit.
Well, now, Ace, right. You were going to talk about the weirdest place because you said you've touched yourself at work.
I have definitely got half dozen off in different workplaces. Well, I never did work in the corporate world.
That's why I wanted to know. This is as white collar as you've been going to an office every day. Are you talking more your blue collar days or were the man show offices or both?
Man show. Now, I took a leak in a coffee pot over there, but that was to make a statement.
Right. What were you saying?
Every day.
I was an a-hole.
He did it every day.
I do it every day.
And then he would set it. It was a weird thing, though. He would pee in a coffee pot, and then he would sit it on the windowsill, and in the morning sun would hit it just so that it was a lovely shade of gold. It really was. You would be like, damn it, Corolla peed in the coffee pot again. But it does look beautiful.
Yes, a beautiful amber hue. Well, no, it was my silent protest to Cousin Sal and a couple of the other guys used to do some serious offloading and leave the door shut and not flush the toilet. I mean, the bathroom up there was unusable, so I would then use the coffee pot. Again, it's my form of silent protest. I've gotten more than one off on the road.
While driving?
While driving. No, actually lying in the middle of the highway.
You could have been a passenger.
I was, while driving. I think my greatest accomplishment.
Stick shift?
Driving, yes. A stick shift pickup truck on a street that was a mountain road windier than Mulholland.
Wait a second.
Yes. As a matter of fact, could have easily plunged to my death.
Were you driving with your knee on the wheel?
I drive with almost no hands. I use my knee a lot. I barely touched a wheel. I'm very, very light on the wheel, so I'm very adept at doing things other than driving while I'm driving. But this was stick shift, mountain road. When I used to work construction, could get one off. Cabinet shop. Once or twice, probably.
In the bathroom or in the shop?
In the kitchen. No.
Right in the kitchen.
No, in the bathroom. Always in the bathroom.
So when you say work, when you say I was at work, you were actually in someone else's home.
Oh, well, let's see. Working on someone's house. Probably, but I didn't make a habit of it. Know what I'm saying?
Well, in a way, that's kind of cool. I'm sure that people now wonder if people whose homes you worked on said, like, you know, that guy who was the carpenter? That's the man show guy, Adam Carolla. And now they know better. Adam Carolla masturbated in my house.
Just assume if your house has a roof, I did it in your house, whether I went in it or not. All right, let's see. Let's talk. Wow. Top of a 300-foot tower while working.
Whoa.
Ray?
Yeah.
What's up?
That tower, apparently.
Yeah. So what were you doing on this tower?
I was a guard in the Marine Corps, and we had several towers at this particular location, and it was kind of a known thing that Marines sometimes took care of business while they were on post, and in these guard towers, there were gun ports, and sometimes, you know, when they were done, they would launch it out the guard tower.
Got to be rough for the MPs that are on guard patrol down on terra firma.
Yeah, masturbation patrol.
Wow, geez. I didn't know pigeons flew at 4 a.m.
That's what I call beat cop.
Flying jellyfish.
Yeah, so you would do it into the air.
Occasionally, and in the winter, we had these cold weather jackets that were called buffalo jackets, and a lot of guys would just do them in the sleeve of the jacket.
I got to say, when you take guys that are 19, 20, 21, you give them a job where there's no supervision and they're not in some cubicle, but they're just left overnight to work the graveyard or what have you, believe me, there will be some action that will ensue. I do not doubt that at all. All right, Ray.
the best was we got a new company commander, and he was going around inspecting posts, and we had to explain to him why he wasn't going to, why no one wore the jackets.
Ray, thank you for giving all for our country.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
By the way, you're going to get medical and dental for the rest of your life for beating off on a, in a guard tower. You see? I've said that about the military many times. You sign up for the military, there's a 9 out of 10 chance you're just going to be beaten off in a guard tower, and you'll just get free medical and dental for the rest of your life and low interest loans. But there's a small chance you may go to Iraq and get shot. I say it's worth it.
You might as well masturbate in your sleeve while you still can.
Army of scum.
Tony?
Yeah.
Airplane bathroom.
You're not doing it now, are you?
No.
Okay. Airplane?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my way to Cabo last year, and, you know, there were some hot chicks in the airplane, so I decided to go to the back to the bathroom and rub one out.
That is incredible.
Yeah, you know, you got the Mile High Club whenever you have sex in an airplane?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like I'm part of the Half Mile High Club, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Mile Low Club.
All right, Tony. Good stuff, buddy.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Crash and burn. 22.
Yeah, the problem, I got to say, with a lot of guys, young guys, they have like a hair trigger. It doesn't take much. All it takes is just a little reminder. Hot chick sitting behind them on an airplane, a commercial with some chick they're hot for, whatever. Quick memory of someone they went to high school with. James? James says,
oh, yes.
Yes, I'm dying to talk to you, James, who obviously is not named James.
Sorry, what? I wasn't paying attention.
Right. I know. Huh. I never recognized my name either.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, caller goes by the name James.
Adam's on his phone.
Huh?
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I have done it and at work, and I used to work for Citibank in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'd go into work, you know, going off every now and then, and, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I've done it driving, you know, who hasn't? I mean, come on. But one time, Easter, this past year, you know, I'm an atheist, just like yourself, you know, and my mother dragged me to one of these Sunday masses. I'm, like, watching the sermon, I'm like, whatever, I gotta, you know, so stuff's going on in my mind, and I'm like, I gotta go pee. So, happened in the church bathroom.
You masturbated in the house of the Lord?
Mm. House of the, what's the
King,
Lord?
King James. Hey, James, the church bathroom doesn't have a lock on the door, though, does it?
Well, no one's going to burst in if they see your legs.
So you go into the stall, shut the door. Yes?
That's what I did at Citibank, too, yes.
And, but you're standing up, right?
No.
Sitting down?
Yes, on the toilet.
Well, how does that work as far as cleanup goes?
Cleanup goes,
tell somebody it's marshmallow.
Go into the bowl. Maybe use a
all right,
paper.
Well, hold on. I don't want to get too graphic here, but if you're sitting...
You ask.
You're okay. Sitting on the toilet. King James is on the throne in the house of the Lord.
Aww.
And he's rubbing one out.
Using the Virgin Mary...
No.
As his inspiration.
Well, more of a kickstart.
Well,
I'm
listen.
Sure he got into harder stuff later on, like some of the whores that Jesus saved. But he starts off with the Virgin Mary and maybe throws the donkey in from the manger.
Easter bunny.
So yeah, you're sitting on the toilet. And again, I'm an atheist, but even I'm not going to tempt the Almighty by squeezing one out in his house. You understand? Scared that a gargoyle would land on me when I walked out the front door and just crush me. It would serve
me
right.
I was angry that I got drugged there in the first place. So,
right.
Okay. Honest, it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
I thought it more funny than anything else.
I understand, but you're sitting on the toilet. Now comes that moment where you're going to produce. What do you do sitting on the toilet to get it into the bowl?
Stand up and turn around.
Oh.
In the midst, because I can't do anything.
Well, I mean, the likeliness of somebody actually being...
In that moment.
In the bathroom while you're in that moment, you know. And anyway, you got to get up and life anyway if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in there. So, you know, they're not thinking anything of you actually getting up and, wow, that guy's legs are turned around, you know? They don't think about that.
What's the name of the church, just for fun? Does it have a good name for
it? To be honest, I have no clue. I did not care to be there in the first place.
Okay, well,
we'll just say St. Joseph's, because there's a million of those.
Can I say this, James?
Yeah.
Whether it's the church or a therapist or a place to get your car realigned, next time your mom drags you somewhere you don't want to go, perhaps you should just not go instead of masturbating in the place that you didn't want to go. Like, she wants you to get some couples therapy with your wife, or wants you to go to the dentist to get a teeth cleaning. Wherever your mom drags you as an adult, don't go. But I don't want to see you beaten off in the dentist chair as a rebellion.
Ask yourself, what would Jesus spook?
Yes. Well, also, Jesus had a second coming.
Oh.
And I don't know if that was the first.
Oh.
Hopefully it was the last.
Oh, let's see. What do you say, Brian? You like three?
Uh-oh.
Oh, a girl. Oh. Yes, Miss G, who just hung up the second I punched her up.
I was so excited to hear a girl. I can't imagine women do this.
Yes, I think line seven is a female. Huh. Lee?
Leah.
Or Leah.
Hi. Good
What's
morning,
up?
Guys.
Good morning. What's up?
Not much. I'm just calling in to tell my stories. I have a couple of them. I don't know if they're as exciting as the church story, but I'm a girl, so I hope that makes you happy.
Yes, it does.
I have one story where I was at school. I was between classes. I think I had a big test that day, so I just went in the bathroom and thought I would relieve myself, help myself relax before my test.
Now, girls, they can do it. Well, they don't produce evidence of masturbating, so everywhere is potentially a place they can do it. Also, some of them can do it quite easily, and if you can, then you can do it wherever, whenever. I mean, you don't even need to close the door. What do you look like?
What do I look like?
Uh-oh.
I have red hair, freckles, blue eyes. I look Irish, but I'm not 100% Irish.
And how much do you weigh?
A lot.
Wait, in math, radio math, what's a lot mean?
It's disgusting when you girls masturbate at school, okay? Can I say that right now? And look, I don't have delicate sensibilities, but it's just wrong. It's just not. I love when guys do it. As soon as you find out the chick's fat, oh, please, come on now.
It was hot before that. What do you think a lot means in your radio translation of English?
One could only imagine.
Lose weight.
Gotta say, well, first off, when they start with the hair color, that's bad. And then when they go to the freckles and they go to the eye color, when they dance around the weight, that's usually a bad thing. I'm gonna say a lot means over 225. Hold on, let me find out. Leah?
Huh?
What's a lot in the weight department?
You were about close.
Wow.
I was close, about 225?
Yeah, but I look good, I promise.
You wear it well. You're tall, you're 5'5" and a half.
Yeah, in fact, if my second masturbation story, I was at work, and it was after work, and I was on the
website. Listen, I'm going to throw up. This is just wrong.
What's
it
the
cutoff
for a sexy masturbation story? 150?
Lose 20.
It can, about 150. We're working height and cup size as well. Okay. Also, you know, am I riding a 4-beer buzz, or what's going on with me? It's not all about you. How am
point.
I feeling? When's the last time I masturbated?
Good point.
So give us the second one, Leah. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, the second one, it was just at work. It was after work, and I was online looking at a particular website that I'm actually posted on.
Mm.
And, it was kind of hot and sexy, so I decided to relieve myself there, too.
You're posted on this website. I'm sorry, I only have a 14-inch screen, so I don't think I could see all of you. I get home, I got a nice 22-inch flat plasma.
Okay, Adam.
All right, I'm sorry, Leah. I'm sorry, it's hot. Don't get me wrong. But now, what are you doing with the weight? Are you trying to lose weight?
Yeah, in fact, I've just lost about 40 pounds in the past 3 months.
So where are you at now?
Where am I at now?
In the weight department. You're 225 now?
Yeah, about 225. So
265 previously.
Yeah.
And how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
5'6". Well, 5'5" and a half, I think I was right. All right, Leah. Good job, baby.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I know it's sad, but look, let me say this. the gals and guys out there. There are a lot of guys and gals out there. Yeah, I'm 225, but I'm 5'6", and I wear it well. You couldn't possibly wear it well. It's a mathematic impossibility that you wear it well. You can look better than other fat people who are 5'5", but you're still fat. And I hate to dwell on it, but the reason I'm giving the tough love is there's a lot of chicks. It's like, hey, man, I got a big rack. Guys love my rack. Well, Tad and Brusket have a big rack. When you get a little extra weight on you, you get a big rack. You still have a tremendous ass, and we still can't stand that as guys. Don't lie to yourself, because it prevents you from doing the work on yourself, and it ultimately becomes a health issue. That's what I wanted to say. A health issue.
Right. Not about just the aesthetics.
All right. Ooh, James in a room next to an autopsy. Ooh.
Another James.
It's a popular fake name today.
James?
Yeah.
In a room where an autopsy was being performed?
Now, the autopsy wasn't being performed. And just let me say, I've been sitting here thinking of a way I can dress this up to look good, but I just can't do it.
All right. Well, go ahead then.
Well, I worked in a naval hospital, and I filmed autopsies, which is like in a little mirrored room next to the autopsy room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you pretty much hear who comes into the hospital, you know, ahead of time. And I was like 19, and I'd only been with like some fatties.
Oh, come on. No, hey, listen, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you make fun of fat women.
Okay.
On my radio program.
That's really insensitive.
Yeah. So. Now, you filmed autopsies.
Yes.
You actually held the camera.
No, I didn't hold the camera. It was remote cameras from the ceiling, and I sat in the room. And
that was standard practice to film the autopsies?
Yes, everyone.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah. All right, and these were enlisted men? These were soldiers?
No, this was some retired guy's daughter got killed in a car wreck.
Okay, keep going.
So anyway, I hear when I come to work, you know, some beautiful girl got killed in a car wreck, you know.
Uh-uh.
I didn't think nothing of it, and so I go in, and they bring her in there ahead of time, and the flunkies come in and do what they have to do. They like snip the clothes off of her and all this kind of stuff, and then leave her there for the people to come in and do the autopsy. Then,
well, you know, she was asking for it, James.
I saw the girl.
Hope she was a
donor. I saw the girl. I was kind of emotional. You know, I was like, man, it's so, because she was like a very beautiful girl, the most beautiful girl that I'd ever seen with her clothes off.
I know.
Right.
I would gladly sacrifice 1,000 fat chicks for one beautiful girl.
Wait
really
a second.
Would.
Talk about a hypothetical. A gorgeous, gorgeous dead girl or a 265-pound woman who's alive?
I was thinking about that a moment ago, but I got to say, after our last hypothetical, which was a Brazilian man who'd undergone a sex change and become a woman or fat chick, and everyone called in and said they'd take the Brazilian dude, I realized emotionally it'd be too much for the heavyset women to take.
They couldn't take it, because this guy...
If they found out that 9 out of our 10 callers would rather have sex with a...
Wait a second, is that true?
Freshly deceased hot chick versus a super fat chick who was still alive, they would...
That can't be true.
I would not want a dead woman. That's sick. Now if she were a vegetable.
Hold on. If you had to masturbate to a hot dead woman or a hot overweight woman.
Well, now, are we talking Scarlett Johansson, who just bought it in a cold weather climate?
Well, it sounds like this woman died in a car accident, so maybe she was a little mangled.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to answer that question, by the way.
Is the bed gown falling down, exposing?
Scarlett Johansson had an aneurysm, so she was physically untouched and still beautiful and young.
In fact, never play this again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a stupid game. I don't want to answer.
Well, I think I know the answer.
But just died, right?
Just died.
Like in the hospital.
Body's still warm.
And everyone's cleared out.
Yeah, just you.
I'm not going to answer. But her folks aren't at the hospital yet.
They haven't arrived
There's
yet.
There's just a hint of areola poking out from the bed gown.
That's not right. What position did she die in?
She kind of.
Reverse cowgirl?
Right.
No, I wouldn't. I would never. Never. Are there windows in the room? It's not one of those things where students can observe.
Curtains are drawn.
Okay. Yeah, no way. Not. No, and I could be assured that no one would walk in.
No one would ever know.
No, I would. And is she's wearing makeup and stuff, right? Like she just came from some red carpet thing?
Yeah, she was just at the Oscars.
Dress off, but heels still on?
And thong, probably.
No, I. What color's the thong?
Red.
Have I had a couple beers or?
Yeah, four or five.
There's lube or?
Well, there is generally in hospitals.
Yeah, some KY. Have I seen the DVD of Lost in Translation, the director's cut yet? Or?
You just watched it that day.
No. My wife's at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Your wife's out of town.
Let's just keep pushing forward. James?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So, there was a beautiful dead woman, and you masturbated?
Yeah.
To her? I mean, was she what you were looking at?
Yeah, just kind of a beautiful girl, and I was sitting there looking at her, and first I was feeling sorry for her and how beautiful she is, and next thing you know, it just popped up.
First off, you know they say when you die, you hover over your body? I pray to Christ she wasn't hovering over her body watching you squeeze one off.
Wait, was she naked, or did she have some kind of gown on? Or?
No, they had, snipped all the clothes off of her, and she was...
And you're, how close were you to her in proximity?
Just 6 feet away, 7 feet away.
Weren't you worried that someone would walk in?
No, because I'm in my own little mirrored cubicle room, with a door locked, and they can't see into me.
I forget about other people seeing you. How about you seeing you? How about you catching a glimpse of yourself masturbating to a dead girl in one of the many mirrors that's in the room you're in?
Which is being filmed.
I might go masturbate to that. Right now.
All right.
I want to know, did he touch the body?
Oh, interesting. You're not talking about me and Scarlett, huh?
Either way. No.
I'm still upset about it.
James?
Yeah.
Did you ever make contact with the corpse?
Okay. No.
All right.
Ridiculous. Wait, hold on.
How dare you?
I'm not going to even let you ask that question. That's disgusting.
How dare you?
All right.
Wow.
Scarlett Johansson's ears weren't damaged in the accident at all.
I'm telling you, she just had an aneurysm. She looks physically the same as though she were alive, but she is dead.
Eyes open, or?
I think it's almost like she's winking at you.
No possible way. What kind of perfume was she wearing?
I think it's a Chanel number five.
No. Five?
Yeah.
No. All right, we need to take a break. I need to recalibrate here. I need to refocus. I need to take a long, hard look at myself in the mirror. Porn star Memphis Monroe in next. Yes, Brescott?
And she's alive.
Talk to her about her many accomplishments. Also, Lisa Lampanelli coming up. Also, Dr. Gary Alter, who does genital reassignment. All coming up on The Adam Carolla Show.
Recently on The Adam Carolla Show with adult film star Memphis Monroe.
My stepdad, he asked me all the time. He's like, so where are you shooting out in L.A. next? And then he's like, just so you know, I looked at your magazine spread. I'm like, thanks.
And now that we're all thoroughly creeped out, here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Memphis Monroe in studio. Shy Love. She brought a friend. She brought another friend.
Yeah.
Maya Luana.
Hello.
Maya stars in Asian Fever number 30. I've seen 29 and 31, but I haven't seen 30 yet.
I'm
I hope
in 29
you got it.
As well.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I knew I recognized you.
Hey, now.
Also, Shy in Taboo 8.
Ah.
I got to tell you, Taboo number 2, one of my favorite all time.
I've been in
the Taboo series.
Four taboos. So.
Which taboos?
I can't remember all of them, but there's
pretty
one
coked
where...
up.
No. I've done way too many movies to remember all of them.
I see. But you weren't in one or two. I mean, those are before your time.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And what are they up to in the Taboo
Actually,
series?
They have three separate Taboo lines now, so I'm in Taboo 8. Taboo 6,
mm-hmm.
and then another Taboo. I can't
so they've split off and turned
and in different various taboos depending on what type of fetish it is.
I'm looking forward to Taboo 64, which is going to be a prequel. Yes.
How it all started. Everybody here, too, by the way. She got Memphis is a lovely blonde. Shy mm-hmm. is a nice dark-haired lady. And then Maya. And he has the Asian flavor. Yeah.
Where are you from, Maya? What's your heritage
from? I'm from Thailand.
Thailand, yeah. Nice. You know, whenever I hear Thailand, I think of Bangkok. When I think of Bangkok, I think of my favorite song.
Yes, I was just thinking about that, too. I looked at Brian, and I knew he wasn't ready. When you hear Thailand, Brian, it should go right there.
That's right. Perhaps I can warm your cockles with a little number, lady.
You remember John Mark Carr when he was in Thailand, the JonBenet accused?
You know, it's tough when these congressmen fire off some nasty emails to young pages and bump my boys off the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He would have been a big story because he's been in court lately, but no.
For the sake of playing this song, we could say Mark Foley's favorite song is this one.
It'd be nice. Shy, I think we have. Now, last time we're in here, Memphis was in here. Mm-hmm. One night in Bangkok. This is what I thought you were talking about. All right. Makes sense. You leave it on. Last time you were in here, Memphis, you were talking about your creepy stepdad who wanted to... Because I'm always... I think most people are interested when you hear, well, here's what I do for a living. I make adult films. You think, oh, what about the guy's dad who has to go to work or the girl's mom or whatever it is? But your stepdad took an unusual interest in your career, did he not?
A little. I mean... Yeah, he heard from all his friends, and like I said, he did look at my magazine. He said his uncle had it, and he kind of opened it up and looked. I don't know what, you know, I guess the devil made him do it.
What else did the devil ask him to do?
Nothing. Does it bother you to think that he's looking at you naked?
It doesn't bother me. It just...
I mean, he's another man.
This is odd, yeah.
He's a man. He probably just looks through Hustler magazines like anyone else would, and oops. There's my stepdaughter.
Well, when did that happen? I mean, when did he come into your life? See, to me, if he showed up when you're in the 10th or 11th grade, all is forgiven. But if he was around since you were three, that's weird.
No, he came into the picture after I graduated high school.
Into the picture or onto the picture? Thank you.
It was after I graduated high school, so I was like...
He showed up after you graduated high school. Oh, so he didn't meet your mom until you were an adult.
No, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well, then that's healthy.
19.
Controversial stance, yes. I was going to say, I sign off on this.
I do, too, because a stepfather that gets hold of the kid when the kid's one or two essentially becomes the father, not the stepfather. And then, conversely, the guy who shows up when you're 18 or 19 never really even is a stepfather. He's just technically married to mom. All right.
Yeah, he didn't watch me grow up. So.
Well, then that was a healthy expression of his love. Now, we have Virginia on the phone. She's a nurse. Yes, you're Shy's mother?
Yes, I am.
And you know that Shy was in Taboo 8?
Yes, I did.
And you have no problem with that?
It's her life, so I don't have nothing to say on that.
Uh-oh.
My mom believes since I went to college, it doesn't matter what I do. I did what I was supposed to.
You went to porn college or regular college?
No, I have two master's degrees. So
you do?
My mom doesn't care.
What in?
Accounting and taxation.
Oh. Really?
Mm-hmm. I used to be a CPA.
Why leave? Well,
I
understand.
Bored.
Why.
I wanted to have fun.
No, you know what? That was a stupid question. Life in the fast lane, crunching numbers with an abacus and wearing one of those green visors. Yeah. Why leave being an accountant? I would have just killed myself if I was an accountant. So you went to what college?
Nova Southeastern University. It's in South Florida.
Graduated college, had a job, were fruitfully employed.
Yes.
And then how did you slide into the world of porn?
I was asked to resign because I went to work. I took Friday off, went to work on Monday, and I had contacts, my braces off, and a new boob job.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't very thrilled with my new change.
I see.
Now, can you deduct your boob job?
Yes, I can.
They fired you or they pressured you to leave because you got better looking? What?
Leave because the women believed that because I did what I did, I wasn't secure with myself and I was the boss. And they had already thought that maybe my dad was like the owner of the company because I was the comptroller of the company at the age of like 22, 23. And they're like, so you must be sleeping with someone now. And it just became controversy, and they couldn't deal with it anymore. And they were just like, well, we just want to resign.
Virginia,
yes.
As her mother, must be interesting for you when you run into old relatives. What's Shy doing? Still accounting? No, doing hardcore porn. What? What? She was accounting last time we talked to her. Yeah, she's doing porn now.
Shy's mom sounds very supportive.
Oh, no, I told her that she's... Well, I call it Playboy.
Yeah, But you don't, you wouldn't mind if she did Playboy, but you don't like her doing the hardcore stuff, right?
She does whatever she wants.
No, I see. Mom sounds passively aggressive about this.
My mom is like the coolest person. Like, you know, we were all raised extremely well. I mean, we were raised to get married, have sex, you know, whole lineup. And that's, so I was always like pretty good. I went to school and everything else. And my mom just was, don't tell them my secrets. Well,
Virginia, what? What
don't
do you have
tell
to say?
My secrets.
I have five, they were all five wild Indians.
You have five kids?
Yeah, they were called wild Indians.
Oh,
wild Indians.
We're all sisters, and we all kind of helped each other sneak out. But every kid sneaks out in parties. But I didn't
taking
have my
womp them to kiss totem poles.
But I didn't have my first alcoholic drink or anything until I was like 22, 23. So I didn't do anything like that.
She
I just
was a wild
fun.
Woman, huh, Virginia?
Ma.
All of them were. They were wild kids.
Now, what are the other kids doing?
They're secretaries, one is a sheriff, and the other one is a
sheriff. Hey, I wear a sheriff outfit, but don't be fooled by the badge. When's the last time you saw a sheriff wearing hot pants?
Actually, my sister almost got fired because of me.
Really? Well, which, yeah, the thought, sheriff?
Yeah, they thought that I was her, that she was me, and that she was the one in porn movies.
You guys look alike. What's your heritage?
Sicilian, Puerto Rican.
Ah, so mom, that's the accent I hear
mom
on mom.
Is Puerto Rican, yeah.
Now, where's Pops?
Pops is living with his new wife.
You don't care for her?
No, I have no issues with her. I just don't like Pops.
What's wrong with him?
The only thing I have an issue with is my sister was in college, and my dad did the loan for it, and his new wife wasn't very happy. She asked him to pull away the loan, and he did, and I had to come in and help my sister with her college.
She wanted another tennis bracelet. Yes. Yeah. I got to tell you something. I have a daughter, and I'm scared to death now because I know. If I do any of these shenanigans, I will be repaid with porn.
Yes.
This is what happens. You can, it's like that old Fram oil filter commercial. Pay me now or pay me later. Go ahead. Screw with your daughter all you want. Have a good time, fellas, but enjoy it while the party lasts. Because when the sun comes up, she will be in an issue of hustling.
Not really. My sister's 23 and she's still a virgin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Get a crack at her. Come on, did I say that out loud?
Oh, that's Virginia laughing.
What did what does she look like? She look like you?
Yeah, she's. Oh. I mean, she's no. She has her features are very similar. My sister's a little bit thicker than I am, but I train every day. So, but she learned from our mistakes, and she's like, I don't want to go through what you went through. So,
Virginia, you have one daughter that is a virgin, well into her 20s, and the other who's done the entire Taboo series. That's a lot of range as a mother. I mean, that is crazy, right? When you're a mom, you're like, well, one's secretary, one's sheriff, one's porn star, one's virgin. Wow.
No, the last one is going to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm. And so at 23 and a virgin, huh?
Yep.
Now, does she just tell you that, or have you actually checked?
No, she really is a virgin. Like, none of us lied to our mom. Like, when we lost our virginity, we were all scared. Mm-hmm. So we actually told her before she found out and, like, kicked our butts anyway. So none of us lied to my mom. I mean, she was tough.
Virginia, when did Shy lose her virginity?
That was a long time.
Oh, really? It's back in the late 70s?
Age. No.
Oh, come on.
I'm going on 28, so I lost it at 17. Mm-hmm. So it is a long time ago, but not a long time ago.
All right, Virginia, have you ever, being Shy's mother, have you ever seen any of her work?
Only on the computer. And a book she sent me, that's it.
I sent her, like, cute little pictures of, like, me not naked, just, like, dressed up in, like, my photo shoot, because they do that before you get naked.
Mm-hmm. She went to Pennsylvania, I think, to do a show. She did not want me to go there.
I won't let my mom see me. She wanted to go see me feature dance.
You don't want to head down to Bob's Classy Lady and see a bunch of guys throwing wadded up singles at your daughter's vagina? You didn't want to see that?
You invited your mom, though.
No. My sisters came out to see me. And
they came out to see you dance?
Yeah, my sisters don't care. They love women.
That's totally wonderful. Naked.
No, but they love women, so they go to strip clubs because they love women.
Fellas, but if I had a brother who was just nude dancing on stage, I don't think I would want to watch
it. No, actually, they came after the show was done.
Oh. I couldn't stop vomiting. Eventually, I would just turn inside out. My feet would come out of my mouth. Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I've not... We're, by the way, let me reset. Shy Love is here. Maya Luana is here. And Memphis Monroe is here. All... Well, they're porn stars, but I call them adult film stars, and they're all going to be at the Hustler store tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, Hustler Hollywood from 8 to 10 p.m. But let's get back to this for a second. Virginia, as the mother of a woman who's in adult film industry, you wanted to come out and watch her feature dance at a nudie bar.
Yeah, but she won't let me.
Jesus Christ, I couldn't get my dad to go to a Pop Warner football game, and you want to go watch your daughter dance naked at a bar?
Well, it was a bikini bar anyway. It wasn't like a nudie bar, but I still wouldn't. I still said no.
But the top came off,
no,
right?
It's a bikini bar.
You dance at a bikini bar?
What? Yeah, they have bikini bars.
Is this flash dance? Are we in Pittsburgh in 1979?
No, there's certain strip clubs that don't permit you to take off your clothing. You do bikinis.
In some states.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, but they serve hard liquor.
Yes.
Right?
It's a choice. Weird. Hard liquor and bikini or nude and you can get a soda.
They do the thing where it's like, well, topless, you can get a beer. So we're in a weird society in a weird time, but totally nude, no booze. You sit there and drink all the Mr. Pibb you like. And then topless, you can drink beer, but no hard stuff. And then bikini bar, you can
full
drink
on liquor.
All you want. Well, I'd say they should let you do heroin at those places. I got to see some boobies.
No.
Do guys get a little grabby?
Believe it or not, I have never had one guy touch me inappropriately at a strip club. Okay. They're usually afraid of you.
Except their father.
Oh, no, he left many years ago. Virginia?
I haven't seen my dad in years.
You actually got on the computer to take a look at your daughter.
Yeah.
What did you see on the computer?
I think it was two pictures of her with a guy.
Was she having sex with the guy?
Yeah.
My mom,
God bless
my
you
mom.
For having a sense of humor about it, but
yes.
Why would you want to seek that out?
Well, because what my family members do is, like, my family didn't realize what I did, and when they would find things, they'd be like, they'll email it to my mom, like, is this her? And, like, I'm not going to say my legal
name.
They're
being passive-aggressive, though.
Exactly.
They're screwing with you.
Yeah, they're screwing with me, thinking my mom's going to be all upset about it. So my mom gets it, and she just laughs about it. And she goes, oh, I just got a picture of it from you. I'm like, oh, whatever, who cares?
So you have siblings that go on the internet, find a picture that they know is you.
Yeah.
You're their sister, for Christ's sake. Yeah. They recognize their own sister. And then they forward it to your mom so she can have a gander.
Yeah, no, or they'll tell her, go look at this website. And my mom will put it up, and it's like, okay, I already know she does that good. You know,
it's
like,
nice, Ace. How many people get to say that they see the conception of their grandchildren?
That's nice. True. How many say they're actually there?
There
yeah.
will be no conception.
I think it's nice that Virginia is supportive and accepts what her daughter does.
Yeah. I think if they go a few more pictures into the show, they'll figure out that there was no conception at that point. Miss Love... It must be uncomfortable around Thanksgiving, though, at the Love House with all the siblings that have forwarded the emails.
I'm a bad daughter. I call my mom like once, twice a week, and we're on the phone consistently. We always chat, but I haven't been home in a very long time.
Okay, where is home?
Well, now home is Connecticut for my mom.
I guess they were the hardest, but anyway, yes. Yeah, so you don't get back home. All right. Well, Virginia, thank you. You're definitely a trooper.
You're welcome.
Love you, Ma.
Me too.
She sounds nice.
I gotta say, there's a part of me that thinks the whole family's insane, but there's another part of me that's very envious of what you guys have.
Yeah. No, she's amazing. She's like my best friend, and she doesn't
judge
me.
Best friend who you never see.
Yeah, but we're on the phone all the time, so.
All right. I'm not sure if to cry, masturbate, or just go into a fetal position and just
all
wait till
three.
The show's over. Possibly all three. All right, Maya, thank you. Shy, thank you. Memphis, thank you. All going to be appearing tonight at the Hustler Hollywood store right there on Sunset Strip.
For the big movie release Aphrodisiac.
Oh, the most expensive porn ever.
The biggest budget film. So.
It's actually an amazing film. We watched it the other day.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you bring one for me?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
She gave it to her mother.
All right.
It kind of seems great.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll do a little Mr. Brightside. You know how it's played. You call in with your proms. I'll put a happy spin on them. 866-901-ADAM. Thanks, ladies. We'll do Mr. Brightside after this.
Back.
back to the Adam Carolla Show. Feeling down? Well, let Mr. Brightside cheer you up. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I got fired.
A lot of people don't have a job to get fired from.
I've been taking care of my 14-year-old nephew.
He's an indentured servant.
I had to put my cat to sleep on.
Good. Sex. All cats do is sleep anyway.
Adam puts a positive spin on your problems on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, one thing I can't be so cheery about is something I've seen in two consecutive days here at the Adam Carolla Show kitchen, which is pretty much connected to the studio, just separated by a nice sheet of glass. Well, yesterday there was the peanut butter, the jar of Skippy peanut butter with the knife stuck into it. The knife
chubby
stuck into
or lesbian.
It. Yeah, that was Bruskett's work. The knife left into it is a little extra, ironically, twist of the knife. It's a little FU to society, which is not only can I not put the lid back on the communal peanut butter, not Bruskett's peanut butter, not my peanut butter, not your peanut butter, our peanut butter. Not only can I not put the lid back on it, I'll leave the knife stuck into it and just walk away. As if I walked in, I'd say, oh, what happened? Earthquake, fire drill, terrorist attack? Why is there no lid back on this peanut butter? But no, not going to do it.
I'm a busy man, Carolla.
Well, Bruskett.
I got responsibility.
But it's not just Bruskett. It's Bruskett and his brethren, because Bruskett was kind enough to bring himself in a piece of cheesecake, a whole cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
He brought that in.
It's for everybody.
It is. And I saw Kyle eating it this morning and Charon was pecking at it this morning. But I just went and looked at it. It's sitting on the counter next to the microwave, between the microwave and the coffee maker. And it's just sitting there now. It's a sort of a mini cheesecake. It's about eight inches in diameter, but it's a nice looking cheesecake. There's about a quarter of a wedge left on it, and it has one of those cellophane sort of caps that sits on it, which is sitting right next to it, not on top of it, just right next to it, because whoever cut the last piece of it cut themselves a piece, put the cap aside, walked away with the piece, and never thought about putting the cap back on top. So crap that was in the air or just blowing around or coming out of the microwave or whatever wouldn't be sprinkled on top of it, or so it just didn't dry up in the atmosphere. What is it?
Drawn off the hizzle.
How does that work? Explain to me what has happened to people lately that they can't put the effing caps back on things. And even when you give them the squeeze mayonnaise or the squeeze ketchup, they can't flip the top back down. I'm going to give you three. I'm getting three options here. Is everyone just turned into a crazed narcissist where no other human being exists on the planet but them? That's number one. Number two, are people just so angry that it's just an F you to everybody who they work with? Or is it C, I'm so zombie-like and so out of it, and there's so much noise in my own goddamn head that I cannot think of anything other than feeding myself and having sex and sleeping? Which is it? What's going on? Parents, you're doing a horrible job with your children. I work with 11 people, and 9 of them can't put a cap back on top of peanut butter after they're done making themselves a peanut butter sandwich. Not in their own kitchen. That would be bad enough, but at least that'd be between them and their old lady. Not on a cruise ship. Here, at work. And not their peanut butter. Everyone's peanut butter.
These are the same people who can't, the worst of them all.
Hold
in
on,
my
Dave,
book
you have
is,
feelings on this?
Mike, listen, you know this makes me crazy.
The this one, is the him thing, whispering
the
at
thing
him.
That makes
I
me
don't know what we're yelling about
is the people who leave the
Steve
microwave
whisper
door open. You can, that is the laziest deed that can be committed. Leaving the microwave door open so that it burns out. These are the same people who, after they leave the toilet,
I had to turn my volume down on my headset.
Go.
They leave the public urinal. They open the door with a paper towel because, heaven forbid, they get some germs from anybody else. Then they drop the paper towel on the floor so that a janitor
yes
can come and pick up their filth.
Dave,
ugh,
I don't want to get you. I don't want you to have to spin out of your own orbit here, but when I used the bathroom 3 days ago and I walked into the stall, there was the ass gasket, the ass liner, the coaster that rides along top of the toilet seat, still sitting on top of the toilet seat. Guy puts the ass liner down, drops his hairy, sweaty ass on it, does his offloading, and gets up and leaves without disposing of his ass gasket. So the next person that comes in there can contend. And this is a situation where you're going to have to deal with it. You have a choice between sitting on his soiled ass liner or taking your hands and physically making contact with the thing that was formerly attached to his ass. These are adults. These are white collar adults, who average age 43, who are in this mindset. Listen, people, how narcissistic and how out of it can you be? And it doesn't bother you that you're that person? You know, everyone's worried about getting caught. Everyone's worried about getting a ticket, having the meter maid catch them with the meter expired, having the boss man find them. How about you? How about you're that person? You always catch yourself. There's a mirror in every house and every workplace. What do you see when you're looking back at yourself? You're seeing the guy who leaves the ass gasket on the toilet. You're seeing the guy who doesn't close the communal peanut butter. You're seeing the guy who walks away, leaving the caps up on everything so all the accoutrements dry up. That's you, everybody. You like that? You're okay with that? You're all right with that, being a parent, being a father, being a husband, being a mother? That's okay with you? Can't you people wake up?
Like human
beings. I think there's a confluence of factors, some of which you mentioned. One, I think people have a sense of entitlement. It's my peanut butter. I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to leave the knife in it. Two, there's not enough shame in their lives. Their parents didn't shame them.
Please, yes, stop.
I love peanut butter. Peanut butter makes me horny.
Stop telling your kids they can be whatever they want and do whatever they want. And stop buying into all those godforsaken Nike commercials where they're talking Reebok. It's your world. It's your world. This is your planet. It's not. It's not. If it's Bruska's peanut butter, then Bruska can leave the effing cap off his peanut butter. But it's not his peanut butter. It's our peanut butter. And I do believe that Madison Avenue is sending a very dangerous message to everyone, explaining that there's no one else like you. Yes, if you buy into the part where this is my world and all you people are just living on it, there's no one else like me. You know, when God sat down and created me, he broke the mold. Why should the guy whose mold the Almighty broke the mold for put the cap back on the peanut butter? That's the math we need to do.
Was
listen,
that you,
people,
Bruska, leaving the filth on the toilet?
Lick the peanut butter, lick it.
It might have been me with the peanut butter, and I apologize, but the thing is, I didn't mean no disrespect to everybody here.
No.
I probably just had something else to go do, and I just forgot.
We don't exist.
It.
Nobody else exists.
But everybody has something to go do.
Yes, that's right. What it is.
I intentionally did.
Bruska had to go poop all over the public toilet seat.
All right, listen, everybody, please wake up. Stop sleepwalking. Wake up. Wake up. Realize where you are. Realize what you're doing. Realize that there are other people who are just important. You know how important you think you are? You know how important you think the peanut butter is to you? The toilet seat is for you? The door is for you in the bathroom? You have to leave a huge pile of paper towels on because you can't just move it from your hand and throw it into the receptacle? You know how important that is to you? There are several hundred million people that all feel that way. Not about you. I hope you're sitting down. About them. So now we got a problem, because there's 300 million people living in this country, and we're not all focused. It's not job one that Bruska gets his peanut butter, and it's not job one that the J.O. who works in sales gets a nice fresh ass gasket when he takes a dump. We're not thinking about that. That's job two. We're all thinking about ourselves. So now we got a problem, because either we're going to live in a society where everyone leaves the cap off, or better yet, we can live in one. And again, the word society. Society. Think about
the
word society.
And this is a man who hates communism and debunks socialism constantly.
We're talking about peanut butter, and we got to go to break.
I got to tell you, when I was urinating in the sink and looking at my own reflection in the mirror, I saw a single tear.
Man in the mirror.
I wept for society.
The man, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up. This message delivered by the man who pees in the public coffee pot.
As I was dabbing my penis with the tie of a coworker, I did a little soul searching, and I realized that you people have a lot of work to do. You know, I'm not always peeing in coffee pots. I'm not always urinating in public sinks. I'm not always dabbing the pepe on the apparel of coworkers. No, there are times when I'm addressing the ills of society. And that's now, my friend. I ask that you all, if not emulate me word for word and whiz for whiz, at least try to be a little more like the Ace Man.
Do as you say, not as you pee.
That's right.
Right.
Yes, and those who do as they do when they make doo-doo, please remove the ass gasket from the toilet.
It truly is the golden rule.
Thank you.
Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Don't take that call. We gotta go to break. Get the guy that says Brusk has no respect for anyone. Thank you. I appreciate your contribution. Let's move on.
All right. Well, see what you did, Brusk, by leaving the cap off. We couldn't get to Mr. Brightside, but don't worry, my flock. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it when we come back. You call in with your problems. I will give you the answers. No Lycus to get in the way this time.
No, you'll put really a happy help. Spin on even the worst situation.
Right. This will be one-on-one. Mano E. Wizzo. Right here on the Adam Carolla Show. After this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Last month on the Adam Carolla Show, Big Tad won $10,000. What's he going to spend it on? Bacon, bacon, bacon. At those prices, you can't afford not to. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, well, it's time to play a little Mr. Brightside. Intro, please.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
Colby?
How you doing, Adam?
Good. How you doing, my brother?
I've been better.
What's the problem? I'll cheer you up.
Well, yesterday, being in construction, I'm sure you've tried this before. You know how you stick your leg out the window, get some air blowing down the jeans, get that jet stream right up the crack?
Yeah, yeah. And now, are you driving or are you in the passenger seat?
No, I'm driving.
Driving with the foot out the window.
It
I like
actually
that.
My right leg. I know it sounds kind of weird, but
well,
anyways.
Not if you're in England.
And there's this hill that's about a mile long, and I had my right leg hanging out the window.
How do you work the car? I mean, I understand you're working the pedals with your left leg, but isn't it weird working the accelerator and the brake with your left leg?
Yeah, well, actually, my left leg's not very well, so I actually just didn't use any leg. I was just steering, basically, letting it go in neutral down this hill.
Oh, so you're driving a stick. The car's in neutral, and you're coasting down a hill with your right leg out the window.
Yes, because I was in construction and had that jet stream going. Mm-hmm. But anyways, the car actually gained some speed going down this hill, going about, I don't know, 60 down to maybe a 40.
Mm-hmm.
A cop pulled the corner at the bottom. I couldn't hit the brakes, so I tried to rip my right leg down. I actually hit the steering wheel, swerved towards the cop, and got a reckless driving ticket and a speeding ticket, and I'm probably going to lose my job.
Well, first off, nobody loses a job in construction for traffic violations. Please, when are you going to lose your job?
Company van.
Oh, well, first off, you could have been and should have been killed, quite honestly. You have the van in neutral, you're coasting down a hill with your right foot hanging out of the window, and you're gaining velocity as a cop car pulls in front of you. I mean, really, you should be dead, by all rights. And if there were a God, you'd be dead right now. So the fact that you're just alive to call Mr. Brightside and complain about getting the ticket suggests that you're lucky right off the bat. Secondly, losing a job where you drive a van, not a loss. You understand? If you have a mahogany desk in a corner office, you should lament losing that job. You get fired for anything you do in a van. And I've said this before, vans are officially worse than they are good. They're causing more evil in the world. There are more kids abducted and raped in vans than there are furniture moved. I really do believe that. I would outlaw the van when I'm in charge. But the fact that you got fired from your van job means nothing, and it will force you. Here's the deal with life. Sometimes you make the decision to move forward. Sometimes you get out of a bad relationship. Sometimes you quit a bad job. But other times, life pushes you forward. You've been drinking to excess. You've been doing it for 10 years. You get into an accident, and that sobers you up. You get fired from a job you should have quit 5 years ago. You get dumped by a woman you should have dumped 3 years earlier. Life pushes you forward sometimes. This is life just giving you a little kick in the ass, Colby. It's your chance to fly, my friend. But keep the foot inside the vehicle next time. And whatever job you move on to, let's not make it pilot. I don't want to see a guy taxiing with his foot hanging out of the window. Cameron?
Yes?
What's up, my brother?
My girlfriend's cheating on me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me tell you what's good about that. Does she know you know?
Yes, she knows I know.
Hmm. Do you guys still get to have sex?
No.
Oh. Jeez. I'm tongue-tied.
This is tough.
Why are you still with her?
Well, that's probably going to change today, so...
It's going to change today? You're going to dump her?
Well, something like that, yeah.
How'd you find out she was cheating?
I made her admit it to me.
What'd you use? Soldering iron?
No, just good old persuasion.
Uh-huh. But how did you think she was cheating, or why did you think she was cheating?
I had my reasons. There was just... There's a lot.
All right. Listen, I can't help everyone. Get lost. I'm tired of rubbing this guy's lamp. There's no genie coming out. Oh, I had my reasons.
Well, we've discussed it before. You know, listen, your best sport, like Michael Jordan's, is basketball. Your best sport is complaining. Now you're trying to go the other way and play baseball like Jordan. No. Helping people isn't your thing.
Let me tell you something. The show's only 4 hours long, and I'm only so interested in your crappy problems, number one, people. Number two, if I got to use a tub of margarine and a flat bar to get some answers out of you, go F yourself.
The weird thing is he called us.
He called me. Well, yeah. Chief, I don't know about that. Who are you, Ollie North?
Ways. Yeah.
If you're going to call, open your soup cooler. If not, shut your trap and hang up the phone.
He was Mr. Vague.
How'd you find out she was... I have my ways. No one cares about your ways. I'd like you to take your ways and go way. That's what I want you to do. Everyone who has ways, take your ways. I want you to weigh them so you can find out how much they weigh, and then take them far away so I don't have to hear them. I don't like anyone that brings anything up and then won't tell you about it. I got an idea for a sitcom. Really? Yes, I do. It's a doozy.
What's it about?
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't tell you. Then shut up. Then don't bring it up. Yes. Don't bring up anything you can't follow up with.
You're quite the little chatterbox tonight, ain't you?
If someone raises her hand and yells, if someone says, pull my finger and I pull it, I want to hear a fart.
Yeah.
Or at least the silent but deadly. Don't stick your finger out if you don't got gas, people. That's the way I roll.
More you know.
Jim?
Literally. Hi, my name's Jim. I got to tell you, let me tell you something. I forgot to bring my cell phone home from work last night, and I was going crazy in my car listening to you last break.
Funny stuff, huh?
The audacity of someone, who urinates in the sink of people's homes, who urinates in the... Dave, I don't think... I know you brought it up, but I don't know that you illustrated Adam urinating in the coffee pot at work. This was not a prank. This was not some sort of act of revenge. This was a daily occurrence because Adam did not want to have to walk the literally 33 feet down the hall to use the bathroom. He
All right.
would pee in a coffee pot.
Now, before you answer, Corolla, let me say one more thing. It wasn't just number one. Corolla has pooped in showers and pushed it down the drain with his foot.
My foot, not your foot.
At least it's his own shower. And he did explain he only used his heel.
That's right.
But, this is a coffee pot that would not then go in a safe somewhere with a skull and crossbones on the outside of the safe. To do
Biohazard.
Not drink out of this. This is something that would just be left around. There was a good solid 40% chance that someone would pick that thing up and use it for coffee.
He would put it on a mantle as though it was a showpiece.
May I ask Jimmy Kimmel before Adam answers, what do you think was the psychology behind this?
I don't know. I mean, Adam seems to have identified it as narcissism. I think there's some sort of a combination of narcissism and hypocrisy going on here. That is, it's about to set my brain on fire. Adam, I went to Hawaii with Adam, and he had these sandals that had been a problem on a previous vacation years earlier that smelled so bad. Uh-oh. We could not ride in the car with the windows up. I mean, they were so infected with whatever was on his feet. And, I mean, I really was about to
fecal
vomit.
Matter, evidently.
Do you remember what I did to those sandals? I threw them out the window of the car while we were driving because they were so disgusting, and we pulled over to a Big Five and bought some sandals. But he would not get rid of them until they were actually thrown onto the highway.
May I defend myself now?
Yeah, but I'd love to hear it.
First off, Dr. Drew informed me many years ago that urine was sterile, and that opened up a whole new world.
That doesn't make it appealing. You always use it. It's a sterile. Who cares?
So if I tried to clean out the coffee pot, the little rubbing alcohol, you'd object to that? I didn't think so.
Well, why don't I have a nice glass of sterile urine then this morning?
Hey, those yogis lived to like 118.
And
not a worry in the world.
Adam would continually, this is not an isolated event, continually park not in my wide open driveway, my double wide driveway, but rather instead on my lawn.
That's why you get a house.
Lawn every time. Be like, you got to be kidding me. I'm replacing sprinkler heads every weekend here. I mean, I have geysers shooting up in my front yard because Adam is parking on my lawn.
Well, it lets the neighborhood know you've arrived and not to F with the house. There's nobody with balls big enough in the world to break into a house where there's a couple cars parked on the lawn.
Yeah,
you don't mess with those guys.
It's a Mini Cooper parked out there.
All right. Well, let me see.
Mr. Brightside's
back. One more thing.
All right.
And I know I brought this up a million times, but it is worth repeating. How dare you criticize anyone for leaving a knife in peanut butter when you urinated in my children's sandbox?
Uh-oh.
I did not fully urinate in their sandbox.
Why
because
not?
You interrupted it by yelling at me.
I stopped it, and I my head almost exploded.
Wait a second. Jimmy, how old were your kids at the time?
Little? My kids were 6 and 3 at the time.
Yeah, let me first off say this. I didn't have kids at the time. I don't read a lot of Dr. Seuss or
Dr. Spock
books. But let me say this. Catbox, hey, do a number 2. Knock yourself out. Sandbox, no urinating? I'm sorry, that's confusing.
Did you at least bury it?
All I know is I found cigarettes in the urn containing my grandmother's ashes. This is not a considerate man, and if I was Brusker right now, I'd tell you I'd take a crap in that peanut butter, and I'd stick the knife right in there. I'd put Adam's name on the handle.
Smooth or chunky?
Whatever came out.
All right, this coming, by the way, this Heloise on the other end of the phone, coming from the man who masturbated in a tub full of water when I had to use the shower right after him in Seattle.
There's a big difference. I did that on purpose.
And what, the urine just came flying out of my penis without me knowing it? I've heard enough.
Oh.
I've heard enough.
Why, I like this call. This is a good call.
I love it on the call screen. It said that Jim has problem with friend. He defended you. How about that? Defending your honor.
Well, at least someone is.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, and I'm not kidding, I am this close to not coming to your house for 9 hours Sunday and eating $40 worth of food.
Well, if you do make the decision not to come, I'll make sure to leave the sink open for you to urinate.
Thank you. And I never do it in the kids' room. So, by the way, I always do it in the downstairs.
Are there new sprinklers on the lawn?
No, Adam just pees on it now.
The thing that was funny, you realize how catty people are. And I have to admit this myself. I show up to Jimmy's empty-handed. The season with the playoffs and everything is 21, 22 games. I show up empty-handed. Usually, if it's 20 games, I show up empty-handed 18 out of the games. Two of the times I'll show up with a 6-pack or 12-pack or something like that. I brought something. I brought a 12-pack of Miller Lite last week when I showed up. But the guy who answered the door, Brad, as I was walking through the door with my dog Molly and my 12-pack, grabbed the 12-pack just out of a courtesy to bring it in. But now he was going to walk in with the 12-pack, and I was going to walk in with the dog. I wrestled with him a little. He finally pulled it away from me. I started to go like, hey, I'm that's my... And then I realized, please,
Corolla's only recourse was to pee on him.
All right.
Well, I hope you came with a full bladder and an empty stomach.
Wow, did this take a
feel better
turn?
We knew you would.
Put on a happy face.
And not so bright now.
You and Brusker are both animals. That's the point.
That's the thing. You spot it, you got it. What bothers you the most in other people is what bothers you about yourself.
Mm. Well, I hate my big nose and my flat chest.
Oh, my God, it's true. What else?
That's it. I hate all the boyfriends that cry if they make love to me. And I hate all the pedophiles that live in my neighborhood. Speaking of hate, Lisa Lampanelli, queen of mean. In next. I love this song, too, by the way. It starts off, it's like growls. Bad Religion. All right. We'll take a break. Back with Lisa Lampanelli after this.
Mr. Shatner has starred in some amazing television shows. T.J. Hooker was not one of them. What a piece of crap. I tried to TiVo T.J. Hooker, but my TiVo suggested I punch myself in the...
Lisa Lampanelli on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, Lampanelli. I was watching Hooker on, I don't know what, PAX or something like 3 a.m. a few weeks back. The thing I like about that, other than the giant pompadour from the 80s, is in this episode, I saw T.J. Hooker. He traveled to Detroit, and of course, as soon as he walked into the precinct in Detroit, everyone knew Hooker.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, he didn't have to say his name. Hooker. Whoa, T.J. Hooker's here. You think guys on the Detroit precinct know the guys who drive around in the cruisers of L.A.?
Right, exactly.
Not by name, just seeing that huge
pomp.
They
know the Chips guys, too.
Yeah. Same as Roadhouse. Everybody in the country knows the best bouncer in the business.
Best cooler in the business.
Hey,
I've always pictured you. Really? Everyone close your eyes. Picture. See if they can picture one bouncer from a different state. Lisa.
I can. There was this black one in Florida that I had sex with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he was dumb as a post. He was like my rebound black, you know? Mm-hmm. After I got broke up with my boyfriend who said I wasn't feminine enough, which is a bunch of crap because look at me.
Yeah.
I'm freaking feminine broad, you know?
You're a delicate flower.
I am. He actually said
you weren't feminine enough.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm feminine. I like candles to set my farts on fire. I'm at least as feminine as Tom Cruise. I'm telling you, yeah. I hope he's listening.
I do too. You did? Did you do the Tonight Show last night?
Yeah, dude. Oh my God, it was out of control. It was out of control. Michael Clark Duncan. See, they had me on with Michael Clark because I enjoy the blacks,
right?
Sure.
And he's the biggest blackest guy there is, right?
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, he's Green Mile. So Jay was like prepping him, and we could overhear him. It was really funny, like through the dressing room doors. Mm-hmm. And Jay's going, look, you know, there's this broad. She, you know, always wanted to meet you, you know, and you know, I set her up with you. And she does jokes about banging black guys and just stupid stuff. Just stupid. And Jay kept saying stupid stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. So Michael Clark was prepared for Lisa Lampanelli. And I came out and he picked me up, grabbed my ass and dry humped me. It was great.
Whoa.
Do you have the clip?
Oh, do we have the clip?
Yes, you do. It's mostly visual.
Uh-oh, we'll close our eyes and see it, or we have a clip that's loaded.
Well, actually, I was watching it out there with your people. It's hilarious.
I must say, I'm sad to admit this, but I feel like a lot of white folk talk to black folk like they're either talking to kids or something off of a farm.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of, you couldn't understand this if I spoke in my adult tongue.
Right.
She does things that, now I don't want you to react.
Right.
It's
now,
just stupid.
It was cool because he was like,
sort of explaining to cave people about fire. Don't panic.
Well, listen, he just didn't want him to be shocked because the things I was going to say were pretty hardcore. I mean, I was telling him if we banged, the city would have to fix the potholes. You know, I was like, oh, we could have a threesome with Kevin, make an Oreo cookie, double stuff. You know, you hold him down, Michael, I'll do the rest. So he didn't want Michael to be upset and run off, you know, which he actually did as a joke and then came back on and dry humped.
Plus, I've seen the movie, breaks free of his chains and he destroys the city.
In the end, though, will you be dating?
Climbs the Sears Tower.
I wish.
Yes.
But he did tell me afterwards when the cameras were off that I had a nice ass.
Oh.
I was very flattered by this. Lisa Lampanelli was happy in her heart.
I gotta say, if I'm a white woman who is... not the belle of the ball.
Right.
Don't take that in the spirit in which it's
intended. Of course,
I go black.
Absolutely.
I had a buddy in high school, Tom Dent. Mm-hmm. This guy had the six-pack abs, no waist, big guns, great-looking guy. He liked the white ladies, and he wasn't getting the version of him in white.
Thank you.
He was taking a little step down or step over. It was kind of like the used factory seconds, you know?
Yes,
like the stuff at Sears with the dent in the side of it.
I am the Talbot's outlet store. You know what I mean? It's like, for blacks, they shop every time, and it's always wholesale.
You are never going to get a white guy who looks as good as a black guy with his shirt off.
Until I get really super famous, hence my appearance on the Adam Carolla Show.
Right.
Now
see that?
You're thinking, Dave, go do her.
That's the funny thing, because even with the weight loss, I swear to God, I still get the chubby blacks. Now I can't even get the hot blacks.
How much weight have you lost? Because it seems like you've lost quite a bit.
I know. It looks like about 50, but it's really only about 30, you know? And it only took me like 7 years, so it's really awesome. Jenny Craig, I'm going to kill her. Oh, by the way, my last appearance here, I mentioned Jenny Craig and how angry I was because they didn't send me free brownies for the mentions. Mm-hmm. They sent me flowers. See, they did the right thing, Adam Carolla.
Lisa ate them, yes. Well, she boiled them and made a tea. Lisa Lampanelli, the queen of mean, as she's known. Where are you going to be? You're going to be at the Canyon Theater, Dinner Theater in Agora Hills coming up Friday night.
Yep.
Then you're going to be in Seattle. Also, we're going to do a little roast between you and Patton Oswalt. I think he called you unfunny. Perhaps you had some choice words for him.
Oh, it was fun. It was all in good fun.
I think we have that. Do we have that, Brian?
As a matter of fact, we do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little weird about saying anything mean to her. She got some really bad news this morning. She found out that she was hit by a bus 3 months ago.
Calling me fat, I think.
I thought that was like an ugly joke. I can't tell.
I think it's a fat joke.
Really? Mm-hmm. Isn't it bad when we have to analyze his jokes to see how funny they are and what they really mean?
That's passive aggressive.
Yeah, he stinks. Okay, go ahead.
I took her to dinner. We went to the House of Pies last week.
Right?
Well, now it's just called the House.
Yeah, I think that's a fat joke, if I may clearly so boldly suggest.
We were covered ugly and fat in that.
I came back with, my audio saying that he masturbates with tinfoil so it could feel like he's raping C-3PO.
He is
a nerd.
That his show has caused more moments of silence than September 11th.
Yes.
And that the lady who saw him doing the makeup had a nervous breakdown. I think that's what I said.
All right, now, do we have a third smelly hoo-ha drop? Or
I would hope so.
No. Okay.
Oh, damn.
I didn't know if we covered all the bases or not. Lisa, he will not. We asked Patton to come in and roast you, mano-y brado.
Yes.
Brado. But he would not do it. He's too. Aww. I was going to say too big a coward, but when a guy's 5'2", it's hard to say he's too big. And he's 5'2", wearing the waffle stompers. So that makes him about 4'9". But the point is he's not man enough to take you on.
I'm a little surprised at this.
He wouldn't come in.
I, however, am.
I believe you would be.
Now, I can say what I want because I'm Patton.
Oh,
you understand? Okay. This is what Patton would say
if
he was mad enough. Or if he was mad enough, I should say. Or is he in the studio, Brusca? I can't tell. Patton, if you're there, hop up higher than the council. I can't see you.
Stand up. He is standing.
You know what we need to do with him? We need to take one of those orange antenna flag things that they do on rental bicycles and just strap it to his ass so we can find him when he's in the studio.
You're mean.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. I'm turning on you, baby.
Oh, no. Now I gotta do my thing.
All right. So you load up. I'll load up some jokes. Okay. And we'll do a little Lampanelli, Patton Oswalt roast after this.
It's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Yo, what up? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Laid back with my mind on my money on my mind. We got comedian Harlan Williams in studio. We got San Diego Charger Sean Merriman. Hef's girlfriends from the girls next door. Let me do the math. That's six boobs and the Friday bitch bag. It's going to be boss. Late.
Thank you, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Queen of Mean, Lisa Lampanelli. A woman I love dearly ever since she said she was a fan of mine at some roast I met her at 2 years ago.
The Pam Anderson roast,
so
right?
Easy with me. All you got to do is say you've admired me for many years and I will love you. It doesn't matter what you've done to others or even me. Lisa Lampanelli, and I must say, when you go to do these roasts, and a roast, I feel like Michael Jordan playing baseball or golf. You know, I feel like, well, I thought I was a good athlete, but I'm not that good at this sport. This is tough. And then I see Lisa Lampanelli take the stage, and Jeff Ross and a handful of other people, but Lampanelli just tears it up. Now, they cut everything down so everyone's 3 minutes looks about the same, but when you're there in person and you're up on stage and you see her just do 25 minutes of spun venomous gold, you really do have an appreciation.
She's usually the only woman at the roast.
Yeah, because broads aren't funny, you know?
Yeah.
Chicks ain't funny.
easy on the ears, tough on the eyes.
Wait actually, a minute. Have we began Jerry yet? Lewis said women aren't funny?
I remember
he should
that.
Edit that. Pretty women aren't funny, okay?
Yes.
It's skinny women aren't funny.
Lampanelli, funny as hell. I thought she was a dude for the first 20 minutes of the act.
It's true. I strap it on.
That dude brings it, and then it was like, and then really? It started to slowly dawn on
you know,
me.
You know what's funny? That's like the funniest line Artie Lang said about me. He goes, you know, if I had a dime for every time somebody said, hey, aren't you Lisa Lampanelli?
Well, we do have a clip. We spoke about it. Lisa was on The Tonight Show last night, on Leno's show last night. We do have a clip of that, finally. Let's hear that, Brian.
But one stereotype is true. Let me tell you something. These Jewish guys have the smallest thingies on the planet.
Yeah.
Shut up. That is the truth. The only thing shorter than a Jew's thingy is a black guy's to-do list. Trust me.
Yeah.
That's when Michael Clark stormed off the stage and came back and dry-humped me. It was awesome.
Well, Lisa was supposed to do battle with Patton Oswalt, but he is a not enough man to square off with her in the Adam Carolla studio. So I thought I would take his place.
You will be playing Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, we'll do our own roast.
He cowered at the challenge.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll probably do a tit for tat. We'll go back and forth. You do one, I'll do one. Okay. Instead of the way they normally format it, which is you go up there and do 10 minutes, or if you're Dick Gregory, you do an hour and 45 minutes about civil rights not a goddamn joke to be found in it, but no one can say anything. Well, okay, this is getting cathartic now. Right, I gotta relax.
Well, who's
Why don't
start?
You, Adam, you do your spiel, because mine kind of flows. I have
yours
mine
flows.
Written very
all
beautifully.
Right.
It's unlike Walt Whitman.
All right, yours. This will not flow because I have it on 18 different cereal boxes that are put in front of me. But I will see if I can do this justice.
And Teresa and I will keep score.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lisa Lampanelli. Now, remember, don't take this. This is not for me. This is Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt's the creepy troll.
Yeah. I wouldn't say Lisa had a big vagina, but a picture of it would weigh 10 pounds. No.
Nothing.
She's lost weight. She lost 30 pounds. Another 30, sweetie. You'll be at morbidly obese. Just a short 30 before that. Was I mentioning she was fat? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, Lisa Lampanelli's so fat, she was on Leno last night. Her ass was on Letterman.
Would have been funnier if you said Kimmel. I got to tell you.
Too good a booking for Kimmel. No one would buy it. I hope you're listening, Kimmel.
Oh,
that's
goodness.
Right. Lampanelli's ass, too good a booking for your show. I know. Her publicist politely declined.
Yeah,
Lisa
nope.
Lampanelli's ass's publicist said no to Kimmel's show.
See, where that's a funny joke. Lisa's so fat, her ass has its separate publicist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
I'm telling you, I'm a freaking genius.
Half right for Lisa.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, on my own disc.
Ew. I'll tell you, she's an inspiration, though. She's like Oprah, fat and full of black DNA.
Oh, dude, I want that for a future roast. That's
please,
great.
Please, take them all. Lisa has had more black guys in her... Oh, I screwed this one up. I thought it was this one.
That's okay.
I'll tell you. Lisa has had more black guys on her than the WB. All right.
Not so much.
I'm not saying that Lisa's a filthy, fat, horrible whore. Actually, yeah, I am. Yes, never mind.
Saw that train coming down the tracks,
right.
Didn't we?
The only reason Lisa will do radio is because the microphones look like a black penis.
All right, should that be your round one? Do you have more ready to go?
Yeah, I'll do a round two.
Okay, let's let Lisa fire back then.
Patton Oswalt, it's great to see you here, but you're an ugly bastard. But you're not alone in that room. Look at these guys in this room. It looks like the casting call for Mask 2.
Oh.
If I was going to have sex with the ugly one in the studio, I'd have to pull a train.
Minus 3.
What are you, out of your mind?
I'm not being salty.
Okay, first of all... Oh, sorry, dude. And this Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yes. Good. Get into Kimmel.
Please, look at Jimmy Kimmel with that impossibly hot girlfriend. And by hot, I mean hot for a comedian. Like, that relationship's going to last. Israel and Palestine have more chemistry than Sarah and Jimmy. I actually feel sorry for Sarah Silverman. If Kimmel makes love anything like his talk show, it probably only contains 3 good minutes, but feels like it's going on forever. Let's be honest. We all know Sarah Silverman's banging Jimmy Kimmel to get ahead in show business. Hey, Sarah, if you're watching this, back off. Adam Carolla got there first, and he has a tighter box.
Oh.
collateral damage.
I got to say, that is the problem with these roasts. They do three quarters of the roast on Pam Anderson, and then the other quarter left for how gay me and Kimmel are for each other. And if we have something left, we give it to Andy Dick and his confused sexuality.
Well, Silverman's often taken a little bullet.
Sure, we all do. That's what the fun of a roast is.
I thought you were talking about Kimmel. That's what she calls it, the little bullet.
Score one for Adam.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll tell you just a little history on Lisa Lampanelli. She originally got into black guys when Gary Coleman went up on her.
I like it.
Lisa Lampanelli said, more black guys inside her than P. Diddy's tour bus.
Oh, Amistad is funnier.
There.
Amistad.
I can't believe I'm getting
good.
You know what?
Jokes. Hold on. I'm giving one up to Lisa.
I get one for them.
Yeah. The rest of these are weak.
Come on, you gotta have one more in there.
Okay, here it is. You know, a lot of folks feel that Lampanelli stole Triumph the Insult Dogs act. She also stole his looks. No.
I was going to say face is funny.
Yeah.
Again, Lisa punching up her own.
I hate myself that much. I have that low self-esteem.
She's that good. You're like a boxer telling his opponent he's dropping his left when he throws his right.
Exactly.
Do you have any more for Patton Oswalt?
Well, I think it's unfair to give all this attention to Patton Oswalt. Adam Carolla is the host of this show.
Oh, no.
Hey, Adam, kiss me. I want to know what Jimmy Kimmel's C tastes like. I joke. I love Adam Carolla. I love what you did on Loveline talking about sex with teenage girls. Who'd you beat out for that job? Paula Poundstone? Seriously, Adam, you did a great job. Now every 14-year-old girl knows the difference between teabagging and cornholing. But the people I usually roast are legends, not you, Adam Carolla. My friends Pam Anderson and William Shatner even had biographies on A&E. Adam Carolla couldn't have a biography on A&E. The narrator refuses to say douchebag on television.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
I thought that was loving.
You're supposed to be attacking Patton Oswalt.
I can't help it. Your dopey producer told me to attack you instead. And he goes, don't rat me out on the air.
I thought I smelled peanut butter.
I'm telling you, this creep comes in the room and he goes, look, get at him, but don't tell him I told you. I'll throw you under the bus. If it means sucking up to the host, you can go F yourself too. That's it.
Oh, man.
I'd toss you under the bus, but need to put it on a hoist first.
See, now that's a joke.
Wow.
Thank you. Lisa Lampanelli, everyone.
On this judge's scorecard, Lisa is the winner, and the runaway loser is Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Jimmy.
I would agree with that scoring, yeah.
Well, she's a pro.
I am.
Man, you're good. Oh.
Well, it's fun. You know what I'm saying, Adam? It's all out of love, right? You feel the love?
No.
Okay.
I'm upset.
It's weird because a lot of these guys do get their feelings hurt after a roast, and I'm always in shock, you know? Like, Andy Dick's always like, oh, my God, are you going to make fun of me and say that I'm gay? I'm like, oh, no. I'm just going to say I haven't serviced enough guys to pay for your vagina operation. I mean, how do they appear shocked? And then he's like, are you going to say I molest little boys? Now, that ain't even funny. Andy Dick does not molest little boys. He's not strong enough to hold them down. But the guy, like, is always shocked when you call him a homo. Forget it.
What? Can I ask this? There are certain things that are off.
Yes.
Off topic. I mean,
like at the Shatner roast.
Well, there's always, like, one rule the roaster seems to have, or roastee seems to have. Pam Anderson, we couldn't talk about the hepatitis C. And also, Shatner, you couldn't talk about the dead wife in the pool.
Did you have jokes about the dead wife?
I didn't have any yet because I'm a nice person. I'm very sensitive.
I will say this, and I'm not exaggerating. If that was not off subject or not off limits, there would be plenty of dead wife floating in the pool jokes at those roasts.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Oh, you know Jeff Ross would have done that. You know, he's evil.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But you know what's weird, too? Okay, I'm on The Tonight Show, and last night I'm all scheduled to do jokes about the Shatner roast. I had a bunch on Farrah.
Then
she got the cancer and C-blocked my freaking ugly jokes about her.
She literally C-blocked.
C-blocked
me. She has intestinal cancer. That's bad timing for Lisa Lampanelli.
I don't know if that might be more than a coincidence, Lisa. She may have done that on purpose.
You know what
I think? That's the way I would look at it.
I think my evilness gave her the cancer. And also, did you know Jerry Lewis, I roasted him, heart attack 2 days later. Coincidence?
Yeah.
Wow. I hope not.
Lisa Lampanelli's going to be at the Canyon Dinner Theater in Agoura Hills Friday night, and then off to Seattle She's going to wing off Seattle in a C-130 transport plane. She is going to wing off to Seattle on Saturday, October 21st, and she'll be filming her second Comedy Central special as well. Yeah. Our love to you.
Dude, I love you. Thanks for always being so cool, and I love you. Don't die of cancer. I can't make fun of you either.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Dr. Gary Alter, who does genital reassignment surgery, is coming up next, but first we'll do the news and then we'll bring him in. Yes, T, what is in the news?
Yes.
What's coming up?
Okay, a major celebrity rumors that she's adopted a baby in Africa. I'll tell you who. And also a little news about Ludacris, who was on our show last week.
Hmm. Lisa, maybe you can befriend the celebrity and hump the son on his 12th birthday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
More of the Adam Carolla Show coming up.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla and I'm learning everything about comedy. Will you shut up, you fat bloated pig?
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Last month on the Adam Carolla Show, Big Tad won $10,000. What's he gonna spend it on?
Chimichangas.
Now you're thinking long term. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Lisa Lampanelli in studio. I know it seemed like I kicked her fat ass out of here last time, but you know what? Ever shrinking fat ass,
I may
say.
Thank you very much. Nice edit.
Yes, it's now down to the size of 2.5 regular asses. Lisa Lampanelli in studio. She's going to hang out. I know it sounds like the roast is continuing. I should not play with fire. We're going to do some news. She'll hang with us, sit in on that. And then Dr. Gary Alter, the unfortunately named Dr. Gary Alter, but true. That is his name. We'll be in here. Talk plastic surgery, gender reassignment surgery, all the good stuff. So first, T with the news.
Well, more news in the case of disgraced former Congressman Mark Foley, who allegedly sent explicit emails and IMs to teenage male pages. Now, first, yesterday, his former chief of staff resigned, saying that he had been telling GOP leadership for 3 years that Foley was bad news and that he'd been sending these emails and nothing was done about it, so he resigned. Then, Matt Drudge online, what happened was ABC News reported these instant messages, and for a brief instant, they actually had the name of the kid. Mm-hmm. So Matt Drudge looked into it, and apparently the kid that he was writing back and forth about masturbating lacrosse was 18. Now, he might have been just before his 18th birthday during some of the exchanges. He might have been just after, but the Matt Drudge report is saying that the kid was 18.
Hey, do you think when pedophiles, when the Mambla guys go online, when the gay pedophiles go online and they're talking to some dude, it's like, yeah, I'm 14, I'm a dude, I like to masturbate. Do you think their buddies come in and go, you know that's a hot 19-year-old chick? Try to ruin it for him?
Oh, sweet.
I definitely know if I was on a computer going, hey, Kimmel, I got a great one on the line. It's a hot hairless 13-year-old boy. His nads haven't even dropped. Kimmel will be like, you know it's a piping hot stewardess. Get out of here.
All right, well, in entertainment news, the big question yesterday was, did Madonna adopt a baby? Now, reports surfaced because she was on a trip to Africa on a humanitarian mission. Officials in Malawi confirmed to Reuters yesterday that Madonna did indeed adopt a one-year-old boy, but the pop star's longtime publicist denies this report. So we don't know. Did she adopt a baby or didn't she?
Let's just shorten that whole thing. Like, if you go to Africa, we don't need to hear the part about the humanitarian mission. We'll do the math. We know it's not ski vacation.
Yeah, it's not
some
a resort.
Some people go on safari.
Nah, eventually you're going to
get... When Lisa goes to Africa,
yeah,
she's got other plans.
Yeah, it's a total different plan.
Here's the deal. You go to Hawaii, you come back with a volcanic rock. You go to Africa, you come home with a black kid.
Lisa? Aren't you a little sick of, though, them adopting them different races of kids?
What's wrong with Whitey?
Well, no. Yeah, exactly.
They're hard to get.
My feeling is, I never wanted a kid, but if I did, I'd adopt a retarded kid because then you get to save on the college tuition.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth, Adam?
Hey, your words to God's, your mouth to God's ears.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and also, you celebrities who adopt kids, adopt the white kids who could really appreciate what you got. You know, these kids, they come from the Namibia and stuff. They don't know from Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow. They can't appreciate it. It would be surreal if it was just a white kid from Kentucky who's got gobbled up by Madonna all of a sudden.
Right, but that doesn't have enough cachet. You got to have a little black kid or an Asian kid because it's like a new accessory.
All right.
You know, I hate that.
Now, Ludacris is now number one on the charts. Let's hear a little bit. This is his song, Moneymaker. That is not his song. Ryan, why must you hurt me? All I've ever done is be nice to you.
Explain something to you. This is the second clip today that's been named the right thing, but it's turned up the wrong
thing.
There we go, son.
Okay,
yes,
thank
son.
You. Now, he knocked Justin Timberlake down to number five.
Nice.
And Luda will be on Saturday Night Live as both the musical guest and a host. This is very unusual. Mm. Britney Spears did it. Garth Brooks, Stevie Wonder, Ringo Starr, Johnny Cash, Janet Jackson, and, of course, MC Hammer. So he's in good company.
Wait, Stevie Wonder was the host and the musical guest? Imagine all the handicap sketches they did that week. I mean, what do you do with a blind guy as a host? It's
a
awful.
Pile of Braille cue cards. His hand is out in front of his face the entire time. Everything on the show is on cue cards. How the hell does he do that? Well, if this works out for Luda, I think Madonna's going to adopt him.
Ah, nice.
That's the thing. I want to adopt a black kid, but a 23-year-old who has a record contract, not a poor one.
Me too.
That's my deal. I want the one that's already got a Rolls.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Game one of the National League Divisional Series over in Queens, New York yesterday. Dodgers lost one to the Mets. They had no business losing. They lost nonetheless. 6-5, and the worst play was in the second inning. Two guys on base. There was a hit to right field, a double, and not one, but both guys got tagged out at home plate.
Now, how
bang,
does that
bang, boom.
Happen? Does one guy on third tagging up, thinking it may be caught, and the other guy who's on second is running? Is
Jeff
that how
Kent
it works?
Got tagged out at home. J.D. Drew ran through the sign, or there's some argument about whether the third base coach was waving him through or if J.D. Drew just missed the stop sign. Either way, here's how Jeff Kent described it, the first runner tagged out.
It's easy to sit in the booth, and it's easy to color this at the end of the day and say, you know what, well, if this would have scored and that would have scored, it added up, they would have won.
If this would have scored and that would have scored, then they would have won.
Yeah.
It was very easy. He's right about that. The good news is that the Dodgers have game two tonight. The possible bad news is the Blue Bums have rookie left-hander Hong Chi Kuo going against future Hall of Famer Tom Glavine. Either way, that one goes off at 5 local time. Before
Puerto Rican kid?
That's right.
Did Madonna adopt him?
Padres host the St. Louis Cardinals. The Padres, of course, will be trying to even that series at 1. Coming up this weekend, the big game is the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, the reunion of T.O. and Donovan McNabb. The big story from last weekend, though, was the Titans' Albert Haynesworth, a very large black man who you might like, Lisa. Yes.
He probably slept with him and didn't even know.
He didn't even feel it.
Cowboys lineman Andre Garrard, he ripped his helmet off his head and then stomped him right in the face with his cleat.
Wow.
I will say this. Haynesworth has been suspended for 5 games, but he was very contrite in a press conference earlier today, and I think it sounded more or less something like this.
I kicked that fella right in the puss, and that was wrong. I dialed a wrong number. It wasn't kosher, I tell ya. I feel like a first-class bum, a grade-A maroon, a turkey, a schmo, a heel. Excuse me. Hello? Mr. Sheldrake. It's Mr. Sheldrake, my publicist. Yes, I know, given the circumstances, saying heel is a bad pun, but I was trying to be a wisecaker. Brassy, sassy, saucy, and so on. Well, yes. Yes. Very well. Mea culpa, fellas.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
The sort of fella you'd be interested in,
so
right?
Funny.
You keep talking that way, Madonna's going to adopt you. All righty, we need to take a break because Dr. Gary Alter, the man who practically invented gender reassignment, is going to come in here and explain that he's not a quack, but then, in fact, he's a professional, has some breaking news for us in the plastic surgery game.
Mm-hmm.
He is a board-certified urologist and plastic surgeon, which only, I guess, 5 guys maybe in the world have. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you, Adam. You're the best. I love you guys. We'll see you soon, I hope.
You're a doll and a can be found Friday night, tomorrow night in Agora Hills at the Canyon Dinner Theater. We'll be right back after this.
If you want to change your sex, you call Dr. Alter. He can turn your wang into a vag, Dr. Alter. Dr. Alter. Turn a girl into a man. Give a chick some bigger cans. He'll change Joe into Joanne. Dr. Alter.
Yeah, yes, Dr. Alter. It is true when the dude becomes a chick, they keep the first name, they just modify it into the girl version of it. You cut the wang off, go the extra yard, and just go ahead and change the name. I'm sure your pops would appreciate it. Why is that the guy's name was Joe turns into Joanne? Why not just pick a new name?
I guess they just get used to it, but you're right. Most of them do keep a variation of the name.
Know why? Effing with pops.
Ah.
Yes. This is not so much that you hate your wang, it's that you hate your dad, and you're screwing with him. That's why I don't pick a totally new name, because totally new name would be a lot easier than your dad having to do that. Oh, it's not Joe anymore, it's Joanne. I'll tell you, if my son wanted to do this, I would have him rubbed out by a drifter. I make no bones about it. It's hanging right off the mobile above his crib.
But he wants to make no bone about it.
That's right. Thank you, David. Dr. Gary Alter. Gary has a good sense of humor. You have to when you cut off wangs for a living.
How many wangs would you say you've removed in your career?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is you use the parts.
Yeah.
You don't just cut it
off.
No,
you're like, you're like an Indian with a buffalo.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
You use everything.
Right. You use pretty
but
much everything.
But you first remove it.
No, you just
filet.
You do filet.
You butterfly.
You do some filet. You take a little piece of the head of the penis, and you keep the nerves attached, and you make a clitoris out of it. And part the spongy stuff, the part that gets erect, that's removed.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Could I have it?
What happens to it?
I'm just saying, if you're gonna throw it. Feel like a bum by a dumpster. Hey, you're gonna finish that pizza? Well, if you're gonna toss it, I'll take the spongy stuff.
So I can clean your dishes.
I could use a little more stuffing in my teddy bear. You know what I'm saying, Doc? Maybe we could talk after the show. Dr. Alter not only will turn a man into a woman, but a woman into a man, but that's a much more difficult procedure?
Well, it's much more involved. In fact, the way to really make a large phallus for a female to a male is microsurgery, in which you actually take a portion of the arm, the skin and the nerves, and you transfer it to the pelvic region with microsurgery. I personally don't do that. It requires a team. There are a few places in the country that do it, usually in academic centers, because it requires so many different doctors.
You take muscle.
You don't take muscle. You take the skin
mm-hmm.
along with some of the underlying tissue,
mm-hmm.
and then you take an artery, mm-hmm. a couple veins, a nerve to the forearm, so you have sensation.
Mm-hmm.
You roll it into what looks like a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Then you transfer it.
Now, at first, you keep it alive via the blood supply that's still flowing through the arm?
Right.
If you see a picture, do we have his book here?
Yeah, my book. It's in my book.
Whatever page that's on, 666. I guess they're all 666 in this book.
Fascinating. A team of people.
You'll go from fascinating to vomiting when you see the picture of this phallus.
I have a high threshold. I can look at this stuff, no problem.
It's somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, look, you should look at it and find it because Brian couldn't find it last time.
So, they take the arm out, and then a team of surgeons makes it into a penis.
Well, there's one team that actually is raising the skin and the tissues of the arm, and the other team is preparing the pelvic area to accept the
forearm.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you make pigs in a blanket.
There's got to be two good conversations that come from that procedure. There must be a little scarring on the arm.
Right.
So, of course, the dude who runs into the guy at work 3 years later, hey, buddy, what happened to your arm? Motorcycle accident? Nope.
Well, here's the...
What'd you do, reach into a lawnmower or something? Nope. You can keep guessing. That's number one. Number two, the poor surgeon who has to do it. Oh, you're a surgeon. He's out on a first date. What are you doing? Curing kids of cancer? What are you working on? Nope. Keep going. Plastic surgeon? Oh, you're taking those deformed kids from Guatemala with the hair lip. Nope. Keep going. Yes, we have the picture. We have the that's the picture of the. That's the picture of the penis. We have the book here. I want the one where the arm is being used as the host, where the penis is right. on the arm.
There's a diagram only.
There's a diagram.
No, there's a picture where something is attached to the arm.
Give me the book back and I'll see.
Can we put it on AdamCarolla.com?
It is scary looking. So, Alter, this is your book, right, Doctor?
I'm looking at it now. I see the forearm.
I was the co-editor of this book, along with Dr.
Fran Drescher. Just throwing it out. Sometimes you hook up with a celebrity.
Joan Didion or someone like that.
Where do you find the book where the penis is living on the arm? It's hosting off of the arm.
Oh, no.
It's feasting on the blood
of
the arm.
To stay alive before they attach it to the pelvis?
Yes. Yes. And have you done this surgery, Dr. Alter?
I've assisted in it when I was going through my training.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were being done in Norfolk, Virginia, where I did some of my after residency training.
Sure. It's for lovers. Guys who love weenuses on their forearms. You don't read the small print. Virginia is for lovers of weenuses on the forearm.
So a lot of these surgeries are done in VA?
Show it to these guys, Bruskett. Right. I've seen this one. Now that's the one where the penis is growing on the arm.
That is correct, yeah.
All right, we need to talk about not only do you make penises, but you also make boobies and noses and everything else. What is new in the world of plastic surgery?
Well, I'll tell you, instead of new, I think as a public service, there's something I should mention because I've seen two of these patients in the last week and a half, mm-hmm. and these are young men who have had fractured penises. And this is something that men are not told about, and I really, it can destroy a man's life. And basically, the situation is when the man is having intercourse, usually the woman is on top, and the penis bends, and pop.
In other words, she comes down at the wrong angle.
She comes down at the wrong angle, or she catches his penis against his pelvic bone. And oftentimes, what'll happen, he may hear a crack, but he'll feel pain, and potentially see just black and blue and swelling, etc. And oftentimes, since guys don't know about this, they think, this is no big deal.
They're embarrassed.
I'll be okay. They're embarrassed, and they don't want to go to a doctor. But the reality is,
rub a little dirt on it and run it off.
If that happens, that's a medical emergency.
It is. Because you're bleeding now.
You are bleeding, and you have a gap. You see, the way a man gets an erection is blood goes into the two erection chambers, and it's held there by this tough elastic tissue. And when that elastic tissue cracks, then the blood escapes. So now you have a gap in the erection chamber. So your body is then going to form scar tissue to fill the gap. And what happens is if that gap isn't filled...
I just want to say this. The erection chamber sounds like the world's worst game show.
So
or best.
You've now entered the erection chamber. All right. Yeah, sorry.
The questions are all hard.
So the blood keeps flowing into the penis.
Well, so then what happens over a period of weeks is scar tissue forms. And the scar tissue over weeks to months can cause curvatures of the penis, can actually erect the can actually affect the ability to get an erection. So what happens is the man gets curvature, or he has pain when he has erection. I mean, it can be devastating.
So now the two guys you saw immediately, or you saw some weeks after the injury?
I saw many weeks after the injury, months after the injury, because they really didn't appreciate that they had a problem.
Now, then you have to attempt to repair what is going to be difficult to repair now, right?
Very difficult, absolutely.
And costly, I would imagine.
It can be costly, absolutely.
Let me ask this. In terms of difficulty, and I know you don't do lots of other surgeries, but turning a man into a woman, forget about all the hormones and training, anything, just for the surgery standpoint, what is that the equivalent to? Would it be the equivalent to gallbladder removal or liver transplant? Like, what can you think would be the general surgery equivalent to that?
That's really hard to say.
And materials.
You know, any surgeon that does a lot of one thing, it becomes much easier for them.
Right.
It's just like most jobs. If somebody does a lot of something, it becomes easier. There's a lot of steps to do a man to a woman sex change is multiple steps over 5-6 hours.
Cody's on the phone, by the way. He broke his penis and has a question. Cody?
Yeah, the doctor had a point that I wasn't aware that I can ever break my penis, and I'm aware now because it's happened.
Yeah, it usually comes from the vigorous lovemaking, but if you're one and done like the Ace Man, no problema. My penis still has that new penis smell. It's brand new.
I was about to finish up there, and the vigorous part was coming in, and I hit it right against the taint. And the next morning I woke up, my scrotum was full of blood, and I was one scared dude.
What'd you do?
I ran to the doctors. I was scared I was going to lose my testicles. They were blue and black and full of blood, and what happened was I busted a part of my vein in my penis, and it seeped out all night into my scrotum.
So... what would you feel? You would feel a sharp pain? You would hear? Would you hear a noise?
Usually you wouldn't hear something unless it was a major crack. But
what about popping the penis? I've done that before. Cracking it like a knuckle.
I've seen that? I haven't heard that one.
Well, we're going to write another book.
Yeah.
No, you know, I've heard a guy make that. If you have an erection and you push the erection down toward the floor, you can crack your own penis. I've done it before. No? Never heard that.
Well, I think you may be a medical marvel.
Wait, can we ask the caller, was the woman on top?
He hung
up.
And
then hung up? Because is that you? Is that almost always
usually,
the case?
Usually, almost always, the woman is on top.
Be careful.
And the woman doesn't appreciate
you
gotta it.
You got to focus, because sometimes you can come down at the wrong angle.
We, Dr. Alter... Teresa likes because he's a plastic surgeon and had to wave us to tell her to get a nose job.
He's the only one. He told me, you know, look... you know what he said? I said, so what do you think? Fully prepared for him to say, don't ever touch that beautiful nose. And he said, are you concerned about the droopy tip or are you concerned about the bump?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Obviously, Teresa is totally obsessed with her nose.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, this is a daily event, if not multiple times during the day.
Sure.
So the point I make to Teresa being is, how many years does she want to focus on this? Or does she just want to get it taken care of?
Better
get
yet,
it over with,
I'm ready to pay for it, because how many years do I want to hear about it?
It's like 15 grand.
Right. It's cruel and unusual punishment to the people around her.
I don't mind keeping the A cups. I'm fine with those. They don't bother me at all, but the nose is troubling.
Actually, we need to talk about those, too. Now, I'm not going to
pay for those?
Not both of them, but the one closest to me. That would be on my right. Yes, I would like to be a double D. Dr. Gary Alter in studio. Very quickly before we go... I did want to say this. Teresa and I did figure something out. The best compliment you can pay to somebody who says, I'm thinking about getting a nose job. Well, we'll act it out for you. Teresa, you say to me, this is the best compliment you can give to someone and a way to not make them feel so self-conscious about their big schnoz. Go ahead, Teresa.
I don't know. Tell me what you think. I'm thinking about having my nose done.
This is embarrassing, but I assumed you'd... You mean again? I'd assumed you'd had your nose done.
No, this is my real nose.
Oh, my... I thought you meant get it fixed or something. I thought you'd had a nose job. It's so symmetrical. What? You're telling me that's the nose you were born with?
Yes, I swear.
Oh, and you... And you've never had...
No.
You swear you've never had a nose...
I've never had anything done. It's my real nose.
Oh, my God. I didn't want to say anything. I was too embarrassed. It's none of my business. But I just assumed it's so proportional to your face. It's so symmetrical. I just assumed... Oh, no. Oh, no, no. Don't mess with perfection. See, if someone said that, that person would never think about it again.
That's the script that you should have done when I asked you.
Would that have changed you looking in the mirror all day long and thinking about your nose?
No, yeah. I never
it's
look
a
in
business,
the mirror.
Don't kid
Instead
yourself.
Of calling a schnozzy McBuzzard. We'll take a quick break. Dr. Gary Alter here. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Andy Dick, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. And I have a little FYI. I was conceived in a Corolla, not Adam Carolla.
Dr. Gary Alter in studio. AlterMD.com. Nobody knows more about your business than he does. Appears on E! Doctor 90210, which I watch quite a bit as well. So, again, Doctor, thank you for coming in. It's always enlightening. And a little FYI to the guys having vigorous sex. Knock it off.
No, just be careful.
No, knock it off. You make us all look bad. You really do. You throw the curve off for everyone, and I'm not talking about Peronis. That's a little inside penis humor for you. Knock it off, fellas. Slow it down. What's the rush? Just slow it down. You're ruining it for everyone. The guys who do this, the vigorous sex guys.
It's the girls that are important.
That's the problem.
You know, girls got to be careful.
I don't need that bar raised. You want to double down on the oral? That's your business, but knock off the vigorous effing. Or you'll get what God has planned for your Pepe, which is a nice fracture. And if you do, you bring it to Dr. Alter. He'll take the dent right out of it, right?
We'll do the best we can.
All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to have, we'll do the bitch bag and what else do you need to know. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla. Sorry, but we're out of time. Can't do that. What did we learn? This is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.